Did you know that the city of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
The 25th Annual Safari Club International Banquet is almost here. Join friends, neighbors, and outdoor enthusiasts on April 27th at Wind River. Enjoy a great meal and numerous silent and live auction items, including a 25th anniversary commemorative rifle, guns, outdoor equipment, and a table of special prizes for the ladies. The Safari Club International's 25th Annual Banquet. For more information, call 474-5075. That's 474-5075. Safari Club International's 25th Annual Banquet.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media sound bites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
I love all alpha male pleasure pursuits. I love my cigars. I love my libations. I love my dames and my harem. Oh, do I ever. Talk about fantastic pleasure maneuvers, especially horizontal pleasure maneuvers. I enjoy grilling, steaks, travel, golf. But at the top of the list, this alpha male in chief, your global five-star general, absolutely loves flight. I love aviation. I love being on the flight line. I always say there is nothing like the smell of Jet A early in the morning. Jet fuel wafting all around me. Of course, no lit cigars around Jet A, or Avgas for that matter. And one of my favorite times of the year is Sun and Fun, the Sun and Fun International Flying and Expo, Lakeland, Florida. We will commence broadcast maneuvers on the flight line for the next 2 hours. Long-ass greetings and salutations, a long-ass snappy salute, semper delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Flying has always been great, so we never have to say make flying great again. Your global five-star Alpha male in chief, as I mentioned, from Sun and Fun, the second largest air show in the country, right in the heart of Central Florida. Goes on today and again tomorrow. And they call it First in Fun, Fast in Flight, the 45th anniversary of the Sun and Fun International Fly-In and Expo. We've got some great guests that will be joining us for the next 2 hours. This is the one time of year where I get to spout off about one of my great passions, and that is aviation. And a lot of alphas I know, they all say, General, love being around airplanes, love being able to see airplanes. I remember as a kid going to airports, being to touch airplanes, and just the sounds, the noise, the smells. Well, we are right on the flight line the next 2 hours. And we've got some great guests, as I mentioned. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Jason Shepard of M0A.com. He has revolutionized flight training via the Internet and via YouTube. We will have him, and also Stevio One Canivo, professional pilot and YouTuber. He will be joining us. Tons of great videos he shoots in flight. And then the second hour, we'll be joined by Mark Baker, the Chief Executive Officer of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. And we'll wrap it up with John Leitz Lienhouts, the President and CEO of Sun and Fun. So we've got a great 2 hours for you front and center. And you can hear in the background the Thunderbirds that are going to be performing the next... What's that? Oh, the Blue Angels. I'm sorry. I meant the Thunderbirds. Thank you, Captain Eric, who I will... and introduce in just a moment. The Blue Angels, that is correct. They have been doing some practice maneuvers, flying ready for some of their big exhibits the next day and today and tomorrow. But let me bring in a longtime friend, aviation mentor to me, Captain Eric, who is a captain on an Airbus A330 for one of, as they say, the major airlines of the nation and the world. Captain Eric, when you are on my flight deck, I'm the boss.
Absolutely. I'm the co-pilot, the first officer today.
But when I am in your flight deck on the A330, and we've been in the simulator on the A320 and A330 many, many times, I always follow your wise words of wisdom. It has made me a much better pilot. And when I fly, I take pride in the fact that I fly professionally like the ATP, the air transport pilots. There is checklists, everything. There's nothing left to chance. I fly like a professional. That's the only way to fly when it comes to aviation. And Captain Eric, you and Captain Cy Emeris as well, longtime mentors.
Well, absolutely, General. And, I mean, I can say without a doubt, I was just talking to one of the guys here that stopped by the tent that recognized you, and we were talking about your airplane and your flying ability. And I said, it's truly amazing his level of expertise when he climbs in the cockpit. And I remember...
Love those Blue Angels, baby.
And what do we call that? The sound of freedom, right?
The sound of freedom.
Oh, outstanding. Anyway, remember when we gave you the couple manuals to look over?
I did.
The next thing I know, we're in the simulator.
Correct.
And you're flying the simulator like a seasoned veteran. Let me take this off here, Steve. Sorry. And I've got to say, General, I've never seen a non-airline person, so to speak, fly the simulator as well as you. Amazing.
And when we talk about a simulator, I want to give everyone an idea. This is not like a little Xbox game.
No.
This is a $20 million full-motion FAA-certified flight simulator. Looks, sounds, and feels like the real airplane, responds like the real airplane. The visualization is a full 180, just absolutely incredible. When you're in the clouds, when you're shooting an approach, you feel like you're in the real airplane. I remember we did a flight from Washington National to LaGuardia on the A330.
Yeah.
I hand flew it the entire time, but I remember you put in some thunderstorms along the way, and
right.
We had to deviate around it. And I got to tell you, there's a pucker factor. You're in that simulator, but you're looking at that big blob of red, and you know what's in there,
right.
And we're deviating, and we're picking up some turbulence. You think you're in the real airplane.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, the thing that always gets me is just the motion part of it, is
mm-hmm.
the turbulence that you can put in. Even as we were joking around a minute ago about pushing back from the gate, even feeling just the bumps in the taxi route and everything,
yep.
it's amazing.
And
so.
When you swing around the airplane, pulling on the runway, and you got to swing far and wide because the trucks on that airplane...
Yeah,
on the A330 are way behind you, and the nose gear is way behind you.
Right.
So you got to overshoot the runway. When you turn that hard, it's a little – you got to get adjusted to that.
Yeah,
it's weird because you know you're not physically moving like that, but you think you are.
Truly.
So it really is fascinating.
Truly. No, it is. It's when you think about the strides that we've made in aviation training, now you see all these little simulators and everything, but what we have at the airline is just – it's amazing that you can the level of the realness that you feel, and then everything that you can duplicate in there that you would never want to do in the airplane. You know, pressurization problems, fire problems, whatever. You know, it's amazing. Truly,
you've even done aerodynamic stalls and ultra steep turns. But on the Airbus, we had to take off a lot of the multiple flight computers to be able to manually do that and override because you have something called its alpha prod, isn't it, that protects you past, what, 45 degrees?
Yeah, basically, we have different...
alpha floor, alpha prod.
Yeah, very good. We call them the laws.
The laws,
of the
flight laws, that's
yep,
right.
Yep. So it keeps you out of trouble.
And we'll get into the Boeing 737 MAX issues. I've delved into the last 3 weeks, and we'll get into that because there's some new developments on that. But, Captain Eric, you have lived in the Tampa Bay area. First of all, let's talk about your flying career.
Okay.
You are a captain on the A330.
Yes.
Prior to that, you were captain on the A320 and also what's called a Czech airman.
Yes.
Meaning you actually certify pilots designated by the FAA. You are able to give them a type certificate. Any airplane over 12,500 pounds, they have to be certified to fly that specific airplane, and you're the man that gives them the Czech rides.
Yes.
In the simulator.
Yep, that's correct. You could go from never seeing the airplane, going through about 4 weeks of ground school and about 3 weeks of simulator, and be licensed to fly the airplane without ever really seeing the airplane. Of course, in the airline industry, we're all pretty much equally qualified. Everybody pretty much has a college education, some form of professional flying in the background, either military, corporate, commuter, you know, express, whatever. So everybody comes to the airline with many, many thousands and thousands of hours. But like you said, the simulator enables us to train pilots without going out and flying an airplane doing, you know, some less than desirable maneuvers that you could not or would not want to duplicate in the airplane. So it's unbelievable.
And we are looking at one of the Blue Angels now,
wow.
Just rotating 45 degrees right, 90 degrees right,
yeah.
90 degree bank left.
Wow.
Doing a little inverted flight. And I'll tell you, you know, that's the sound of freedom. How the hell would you like to be on the other end of that, like when you're in Afghanistan? The sound of up S Creek, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when you hear those, the rumbling of those aircraft, it really is truly amazing and powerful. That, my friends, is the United States of America knocking on your door. But, Captain Eric, let's talk about your flying background. Captain Eric, our guest, longtime friend of the Cigar Dave Show, and been to many of our Alpha Pleasure Fests, Charlotte, Buffalo, the Cigar City of Tampa. Captain Eric, talk about your flying background from Indiana originally.
Right. Started flying actually when I was at Speedway High School in Indiana, Speedway, Indiana, and then flew at, started out in Air Force ROTC. You'll appreciate this. Jimmy Carter got elected my sophomore year, and they cut all the defense spending, and they gave us the option of staying in or getting out. They said, if you stay in, you'll probably be sitting in a missile silo in South Dakota somewhere. And I said, nah, I want to fly airplanes. And, you know, extremely blessed. It worked out well because I got hired with the airline much sooner than if I would have stayed in the Air Force. So I got hired younger, checked out as a captain much younger and all that stuff.
All right, so let's talk about your first airline job.
Okay.
So you learned to fly in a Cessna 150.
That's correct.
And I learned to fly in a Cessna 152. Two-seater.
Yes.
110 horsepower, maybe.
I was going to say, did I have that much?
I think it was 90.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget when I soloed and went up with one person, I'm like, man, this thing actually has got power. I thought I was in a 757.
Yeah.
It like flew more than 200 feet a minute
yeah.
of climb speed. So, and once I got my pilot's license, and I'm sure you're the same, I said, I'm never going in a Cessna 152 again. One navigation and communications radio. The seats were about maybe 14 inches wide.
I'm not sure you and I could get in there.
Oh, I don't think there's no way. No way. It was a tight squeeze. Literally, if the wind, you didn't even need the wind to blow. If somebody, you know, sneezed, the right wing would come up. I mean, that's how sensitive this airplane, but it's a great training airplane. And everybody, you look at all the major airline captains, many of them all started the same way in a small little Cessna or a Piper.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you weren't military, if you did general aviation, pretty much, yeah, everybody started out in either a Cessna or a Piper.
So you have your commercial rating.
Yep, I graduate from Purdue.
I went to Purdue. You're a Boilermaker.
Absolutely, yeah.
Hey, listen, I was rooting for them.
Hey, thanks.
In the March Madness, I was rooting for them.
Yep,
it was.
Yep.
Should have won that game.
Yeah, oh, I know. So after Purdue, I flew corporate for a while, and which was kind of nice.
What did you fly?
It was a Cessna 310, which is just a six-passenger.
Twin-engine. Is that pressurized for 310?
It is not. And okay. I needed some, you know, twin-engine time. So I flew for this guy. Funny enough, I mean, he thought it was a Learjet. So we're flying all over the country in this thing, and it was great because it was a great way to build time. But from there, I left to go where I met Captain Tsai on the jump seat. I went to New Jersey to fly for a commuter airline, an Allegheny commuter airline out there, flying a 19-passenger Twin Otter.
A de Havilland Twin Otter.
Yeah, yeah. No flight attendant or anything.
They still fly those down in the Caribbean Islands.
Yeah, absolutely. No air conditioning.
And the throttles are up top, not on the
right.
bottom. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a pretty solid airplane.
Yeah, built like a tank. So
yeah.
Slow, but it was great. Turbine airplane, so I built my time there. And then I got hired by the airline in 1982.
And this was U.S. Air, not Allegheny.
Yeah, U.S.
Air.
U.S. Air.
U.S. Air. So you met Captain Tsai. When Captain Tsai was the captain on what, a Bach 111?
It was a Bach 111.
Which, talk about a tank. That airplane, the BAC 111, the British airplane,
yes.
was a kind of similar to the DC-9, but that thing was built like an absolute brick tank.
It was. It was a tank. It was, once again, it was very slow. Our max altitude, because we didn't have an oxygen system on it, 25,000 feet.
Oh, really? On the Bach?
Yeah, no oxygen system.
I never knew that. And actually, Mohawk Airlines flew those, and then when Allegheny and Mohawk merged,
exactly,
they got those airplanes. So Captain Tsai, you meet, he was a captain. You're jump seating while on. Now, what was the airline that you were with the
Allegheny Commuter.
Allegheny Commuter.
Which was a U.S. Air Commuter at the time, you know, feeder.
Allegheny Commuter. So tell us the great story about how you met and what he said to you. There's a water analogy in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going from Philadelphia to Indianapolis, and he graciously let me sit up there, this snot-nosed kid, you know, and just like, to me, it was like the space shuttle as far as I was concerned. I didn't know, you know, Bach 111 was not all that at that time. But I'm sitting up there, and he asked me what I flew, and I told him, and he said, "So what's a co-pilot on a Twin Otter make?" You know, and I thought, which is kind of bold, but you know,
you had a pay stub.
I had a pay stub in my jacket, but I mean,
you showed it to him.
I showed him, and I can remember what it was. It was $262, and he says, "You know what?" He said to me back in 1982. He said, "That doesn't seem that right." It was 81. He said, "That's not that bad." You know, that's, let's see, let's do the math. That's $1,000 a month to live on for a co-pilot, single, whatever, and everything. You could get by on that. And I said, excuse me, Captain, that's for 2 weeks. I said, no, wait, you make $131 a week? I said, yeah, unfortunately. And he said, kid, I don't want to upset you too much, but I got to tell you, he said, $131 a week. I said, yeah, he goes, my Perrier bill runs more than that a week. So
great story.
It is a great story, and who would have ever known that he and I would have ended up flying together?
Exactly, good friends, and then all of us together, kind of how we all met.
And that's how you and I met, through Captain Tsai.
Through Captain Tsai, exactly. And I should say that Captain Tsai, also a flying mentor of mine and great friend, like a brother, Captain Tsai retired as the number two seniority captain at U.S. Air.
Yes.
U.S. Airways.
Yes.
Flying the A330, he was the first pilot at U.S. Airways to be checked out in an A330. He went to Toulouse, France, got checked out, then came back and taught all the other captains U.S. Air. And he was obviously highly thought of. To get to number two seniority is off the charts.
Right.
But he was very highly respected and knew back when Ed Kolodny ran Allegheny, great airline, knew everybody, some great stories there. And then you and I obviously got together and got to know each other. And then from there, you started at U.S. Air as a flight engineer, correct?
Yeah, we just talked. Remember, we just got on the 727. Here's Sun and Fun.
There's an old FedEx Piedmont 727. We walked through it, and you can see the flight deck, the cockpit. You said, that used to be my office right there, flight engineer.
Yeah, the guy, there's a young guy over there, and he says, do you guys have any questions about this airplane? The general says, excuse me, son, but he used to fly this airplane, so
he can answer them all.
Yeah, he'll answer them for me. So, yeah,
the kid's like, okay.
So
how long were you on the 727?
On the 727 for a year.
That was a great airplane.
Oh,
great
airplane. Yeah, it was fast and it was just
comfortable,
it was great,
for passengers.
It rode so well in turbulence.
Big three engines.
Yep. Built like a tank. And then I actually went to the Bach 111 then.
Oh, you did.
So after the Bach, DC-9. MD-80, the Airbus 320, then the 7576, Boeing, and now the 330.
Now, let's talk about what was your favorite plane of all time to fly?
General, that would have to be your airplane, serving as your co-pilot.
That's true. Alpha Army 1. Correct.
That goes without saying.
That's true. But no, every pilot I know loves the DC-9.
You know?
Love the DC-9.
You could do things with that airplane that you couldn't do with anything else. You know, you start throwing stuff out like the slats and gear and everything, 250 knots and everything. So you could really. But I think my favorite airplane probably, and probably a lot of guys that are listening to this may laugh about this, but I always enjoyed the MD-80. It was kind of a challenge to land and everything, but the cockpit was ultra quiet. So I always liked the MD-80.
Now, Bach 111, you told me you were coming back, I think going into New York. Through New York State, had the worst turbulence of your life.
Ever thought
that Bach 111 was going to, the tail was going to fly off.
I literally thought I was going to hear the wings clapping over my head. I mean, it just was turbulence like I've never been in since then.
No kidding.
It was unbelievable.
And that was the days of the old little green one monochrome radar. Not great. Not like today.
On the captain's side, and he's driving us through this thing, and it's just like, you know, we've got we got into where we shouldn't have been, but it was the technology wasn't there. That doesn't happen now.
Today it's just totally different.
Yep.
And now you fly the 757. That's a sports car to fly. That's a great
very sexy airplane.
Looking at that airplane on the ground,
yes,
it says, I deserve to be flying right now. I belong in the air.
Yeah.
That just some airplanes not in motion on the ground just look like they belong in the air, and that was one of them. And the mistake that Boeing made, which is a great transition momentarily, is they did not design a clean sheet a plane for the 737 replacement. And the 737 MAX, which was a derivative of the 737s from 1968, just didn't have the height, the fuselage. Where you look at a Boeing 757 with those big RB211 Rolls-Royce Ultra High Bypass Turbofan engines, you got plenty of clearance. That's what they should have done. But before we go to that, Captain Eric, how do you like flying the A330? You flew the A320, fly-by-wire.
I love it.
Different airplane.
I'm hoping that I'll be afforded the opportunity to fly it for the next. I've got 3.5 years before I have to retire, so I'm hoping that I can just stay put on the 330. It's a great airplane. Lots of room in the cockpit. It has a side stick, so there's no yoke, you know, stuck between your legs, and you can. It's a real gentleman's airplane. I've got a table that I can pull out at 41,000 feet to eat my hot fudge sundae. You know, it's great, and I just do Europe once a week. That's kind of.
What's your favorite? What was your favorite? Or what is? Or what it was your favorite destination?
I like Munich.
München.
Yeah.
Tel Aviv too. You told me.
That was always Tel Aviv, easily my favorite. Yeah, easily my favorite.
Yeah.
But since we got pulled out of Tel Aviv now, Munich is.
München. Yeah, say hello to Angela Merkel.
Yeah.
You can take my German shepherds. Their ancestral homeland.
And yeah.
Although when I told them, hey, you want to go with Captain Eric to Germany? They looked and said, woof, woof. Hell no, we're not going with her.
Yeah.
Forget it.
I was just saying, are you drawing some parallel there between Sultan and Baron and Angela?
No.
All right. Okay.
Yeah,
they're better looking. Yeah. I didn't want to say it. But.
Far better looking.
Yeah.
How many flight hours do you have total?
Around 20,000. I kind of
put me to shame.
Well, you know what though? I probably could have had a lot more, but I spent so many years in the office and in the simulator.
Yeah,
so
right. You major training.
Yeah.
So that was fun. That's a cool
Absolutely.
Cool thing.
Yeah,
and I remember going in at 2-3 in the morning with you numerous times, flying.
Oh,
you said I can get you in at 2. I'm like, I'm there.
Yeah.
No problem. 6 a.m. I'm there, ready to go.
Yeah, I miss those days.
Ready to go. All right, we just got about a minute left, and. We're not going to have enough time to get into the Boeing thing, but we'll pick it up a little bit later on in the show, because I want to talk about Boeing, because this past week it came out that the two Ethiopian Airlines pilots, they followed Boeing's revised procedure after the Lion Air crash back in October, November. They followed it to the T, and the plane still went down. Boeing's got a big, massive problem on their hands. Frankly, I think the confidence in the 737 MAX by the flying public and by pilots alike, permanently tarnished. And if I was an airline that had a 737 MAX order, now Southwest won't do this because they're all a 737 shop, I would nix the order, go to Airbus or say to Boeing, come up with a new clean sheet design or we'll go somewhere else. End of discussion. All right, we will continue from the flight line at the 45th annual Sun and Fun International Flying and Expo from Lakeland Linder International, or regional airport, I should say, Lakeland, Florida, in the heart of the Sunshine State.
You need to add some alpha to your Facebook newsfeed. By following The General, you'll get the latest intel in the world of cigars, info on the show each week, and see what The General is smoking. Click like at facebook.com/CigarDave.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle. Always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Tradition traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth.
February 22, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy: to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
The Red Bluff Roundup is on. April 19th, 20th, and 21st. Get your tickets now. $250,000 is up for grabs for 600 of the toughest cowboys in Calgary. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is family night, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractor. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7, and an after party with live music. Saturday brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows and Red Bluff Dock. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30, and an evening concert by country music star Aaron Watson.
Never going out of style, I was thinking wild, the sun is sinking low, we could go.
And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital, tough enough to wear pink day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer, announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis-mounted system, pole-mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard Alpha Army One with service to Sun and Fun International Fly-In and Expo in Lakeland, Florida. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride as your global aviator-in-chief, Cigar Dave, has the controls.
You are in absolute good hands. We're joined front and center on the flight line at Sun and Fun. We've got Captain Eric, and we've got two special guests. One repeat guest and one a guest virgin, if you will. First up, we've got Jason Schappert of M0A.com. And appropriate, we're playing Learning to Fly because, Jason, great, you have revolutionized, really, taken flight training into the 21st century. Building on the backs, we've got John and Martha King,
yes,
who also were here. I'm sure you bought their tapes way back.
Yeah, of course
VHS,
I did.
VHS, that was huge.
Don't have one anymore.
No,
VHS
we don't.
Player, yes.
But you have made the jump to the 21st century.
Yes,
and also,
you,
we've got Steve-O One Knievo, professional pilot and YouTuber. I'd say professional YouTuber as well. Great aviation adventures from the cockpit. I just saw you did one in a Cirrus and also in a, I want to say, a Cessna Stationair coming from a very cool place in Georgia.
Heaven's Landing.
Heaven's Landing. We just went over there and picked it
Absolutely.
Up. And I said, I've got to watch his tape again because I want to fly in there, but it looks quite challenging.
It's a great place to fly into. It was one of the most beautiful approaches I think I've ever done in my life. It was amazing. Definitely heaven on earth.
Well, the gals that were at the Heavens on Earth booth.
Oh, yeah, they were angels in the booth.
They were very angelic, too. We're going to add them to the harem. So I want to get in both because both of you guys have really harnessed the 21st century. So first up, Jason, we talked last year. I discovered you just doing a Google search, and I think I saw you over here. Actually, it was the AOPA flying at Peter O'Knight Airport in
Tampa. You're right.
And I bought a couple of your books. And, you know, as pilots, as an aviator, we always want, just like a golfer, we want the best golf shot, the best landing available. And it's always a challenge. Captain Eric, you've got 20,000 flight hours on the A330.
Yes.
Every landing, you want to be a greaser.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to do it for the pastures, but there's a little bit of, you know, narcissism involved in that as well. Right, guys?
Yeah,
absolutely.
A lot of narcissism. Absolutely. You know, like if I've had a landing, I'm like, that was about an 8. Passengers are like, what seemed okay to me? I go, we walked away from it. Yeah,
right.
Sure, it was great.
Right.
But I want that 10. You don't even feel the mains touching down. You want that nose wheel off. And you've provided a great, just free information.
Yes.
That I have learned on crosswinds and even communication, and a good pilot is a learning pilot.
Always learning. You're exactly right, Dave. And you're right. We've harnessed the 21st century. Gone are VHS tapes. Many people don't even have DVD players now.
Gone.
So we're uploading all our content to YouTube. We have a freemium business model. I always say, if you love the free content we put out there, imagine the great paid content as well. So when you're doing a Google search for steep turns and slow flight and stalls and everything else, really to hold your hand. Did you have a fear of stalling, Dave? Or what was your big struggle in your flight training? A lot of people are afraid of stalls or turning stalls, whatever that may be.
Turning stalls, you're always worried you're going to wing over.
Oh, yeah.
I would say crosswind landings because I had an instructor that really never – he kind of taught me the slip, you know, method where uncoordinated flight, I could never
it's
get
tough.
It. I go in the simulator with Captain Eric and my buddy Captain Cy. They're like, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm trying to cross control. They go,
you're
in an Airbus, man. Grab it. You're working too hard. Once I did that, all my crosswind landings, all of a sudden, everything just aha moment.
It takes a
no
click
problem.
Like that. And that's what we try to provide through our YouTube videos, the best of our ability, teaching these great tips. Someone struggles with landings. It's either about airspeed or where you're putting your eyes. You're too fast, you're too slow, or you're looking too close over the cowling, looking at that first centerline stripe. Take those eyes down that runway, right, if that ground's sneaking up on you. It's airspeed and eyes, the two big saviors of landings.
And somebody that's watched many of your videos on YouTube, on the Internet, your approach is the exact same way you and I talking as it is on video. And I think there is a very comforting, big comforting factor for student pilots because you get that grip, that, you know, death grip.
Yes.
And let's face it, it's a lot of unknowns. There's nothing worse than when an instructor says, we're going to do aerodynamic stalls, and you don't know what's going on.
Right.
You have a great way of introducing students to new material and simplifying it. So at the end, you're like, I get it now.
Yes.
So really great job on that. What courses are available? We've got a lot of people saying, you know, I've always been interested in flying. Maybe I want to learn to get my pilot's license. You have multiple courses available. A lot of free material, but
paid
courses.
Absolutely. Our paid courses. We go all the way actually from drones, earning your Part 107 commercial drone certificate, all the way up to being a CFI and eventually ATP.
Which is a certified flight instructor.
Exactly.
An ATP air transport pilot. So you have instrument on there as well.
Of course. You have commercial. Everything else in there.
Multi-engine.
Everything else is included in there. And where I always tell people to start, and we talked about this last year, is I have a book, a free book actually called The Private Pilot Blueprint. It's everything I wish someone would have told me before I started my flight training, how to save time and money through the entire process and really kind of hold in their hand through all that. Finding a great flight instructor. Did you know you get the same blue certificate whether you fly in a Cessna 150 or you fly in that Cirrus? Whatever it may be, you have to find what best suits you, your budget, your time, and everything else like that, holding their hand through the process. Because aviation, people love it, but how do I get started? And that's the purpose of that book there.
I learned to start learning to fly in college at Syracuse University. I think it was 1985. And I can tell you that my first in-flight instructor, I had him for 10 hours. I ended up going to the flight school saying, we're not on the same page.
Yes.
He doesn't communicate at all. I have no idea. The first time we're going out, we're doing steep turns and stalls. Very first flight. I don't know what's going on. Doesn't explain it. And the head of the flight school said, you got to be 100% comfortable. He said, I want you to talk to other flight instructors. Saw one where we just connected, communicated, and he said, no, we're not doing stalls. We're not going to do steep turns. Let's just fly the airplane and just have a little fun.
Yes.
Learn basic turns. Let's take off, land. And then everything built from there, and that really set me on the right course. Steve-O, one Kinevo.
Yeah, thanks for having me on board here, Cigar Dave.
Great to have you on. I got to tell you that I've enjoyed your videos. I love just sitting in my great room on my big screen TV, pulling up the YouTube app, subscribe to your channel, watching some great videos. I remember you had one where you had a lot of crosswinds going into the Bahamas.
Yeah, 25.
And you were working that yoke, and I'm like, man, he's working too hard. Man, there's a lot of work going on there.
That's the thing with the Bahamas. You know, you don't have a lot of multiple runways to choose from.
No, you don't.
You got one.
You're it. You're it. So tell us about your background. You're from Wisconsin originally. Where in Wisconsin?
Grew up in Wisconsin, Eau Claire, and I joined the Coast Guard to get out of the Midwest. I like the ocean. I did 4 years in the Coast Guard. After I got out of there, I decided I wanted to start flying airplanes. I had the Montgomery GI Bill from being in the military. Helped pay 60% of all my ratings after the private, which was really a big help. I really didn't even want to do aviation as a career when I first started. I just really enjoyed flying airplanes. I always wanted to do it when I was a kid. So here was the opportunity to get this done. So, you know, I got my ratings all down in South Florida. And the job opportunities just started coming along. And it was something I really wanted to pursue and make a career out of, you know, after you start doing it.
What year did you start flying?
I think it was around 2006.
What was the first plane you flew?
172.
I was 152. He's a 150. And I tell the story all the time, once I got my license, I said, I'm never going in a 152 again. And I never have gone in a 152. And when I went to a Cessna 172, I said, wow, man, I've gone from a 152 to an L-1011. I mean, this thing is huge compared. Big, big difference. So you started out, like a lot of people, 172. And tell us how you started to become a professional pilot.
Yeah, I didn't go the traditional route. That was back when you could actually get hired. I started on a 121 regional airline out of South Florida. And I started flying Metroliners as a co-pilot. I don't know if you know Metroliners. They're old and there's no autopilot.
I call them the cigar airplane. Yeah. Because those Metroliners, that was the... who made that airplane again?
Fairchild. Yeah.
Fairchild, exactly right. In fact, their Metroliner, and there was another one that was a friend of mine used to fly for a guy that just as a private plane. I'm trying to remember what that model was. But
the Merlin.
The Merlin. He used to call it the Cigar Merlin because it looked like long, giant Corona is what it looked like.
Yeah, and so I got hired at 400 hours total time. And I'll tell you right now, you really don't know what you're doing at 400 hours.
Not at all. Not at all.
You know, I'm glad that the regulations have actually changed a little bit.
I agree.
For the safety of, you know, the public.
I agree.
So I was a co-pilot, and, you know, there's no autopilot, and we were doing a lot of hours, long days, and you're as the co-pilot, you are the autopilot for that captain. He puts you on those controls for long periods of time. So, you know, I racked up a lot of time flying the Metroliners and then transitioned over to Saab 340s, which is a lot of fun, that airplane.
Was that American Eagle you transitioned to?
It was actually Florida Coastal Airlines.
Florida Coastal, okay.
Called.
Yeah, Saab 340, pretty good turboprop airplane.
Yeah,
starting to retire them now.
Yeah, and at one point, you know, I knew I had tons of time as co-pilots. And I knew from my resume, a company gave me an opportunity to fly King Airs and Caravans, PIC. And some people
pilot in command.
Yeah, pilot in command, so a single pilot. And, you know, some people were like, oh, you're going to leave flying a Saab 340 to go fly smaller caravans and King Airs? But to me, I knew that's where I wanted to go for my resume. And I love flying single pilot. To me, I love the challenge of it. You don't have to deal with a grumpy captain or co-pilot.
Captain Eric Tate, he's never grumpy.
Come on.
Are you kidding? The whole ride over to Munich or to Rome, he's like, oh, where do we take you to this restaurant? We're going to go have a cigar here.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows all the places.
Sounds like Captain Eric would be a lot of fun to fly.
Captain Eric is a lot of fun.
My motto is, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
There you go.
That's it. Have a good time. You know, that's why we all love aviation, because it is something that's fun, that's enjoyable. Most of the time, we always say. So you end up, tell us how you made the transition to becoming a YouTuber and having all these videos of you in the cockpit on numerous types of aircraft available. I mean, there's you got to have a couple of hundred on there.
Yeah, it's well over 100. I started on YouTube, I think around 2006 also, is when I started my YouTube account. And I originally just started posting videos of aviation, footage along with music. Where the big transition to my channel came is one simple cord that I bought. It was an GoPro Aviation audio cable. a $50 cable, I was like, my gosh, that's a lot of money for one little cable. But the amount of opportunities that have come out of just being able to talk to the camera while
right.
flying has been
huge.
Amazing.
Right, absolutely. And it's cool to put the GoPro, but when you pair it up with the audio and you can talk and hear AT's air traffic control, that really is very, very cool. And when you think about it, GoPros have revolutionized. You wouldn't be in business if there wasn't a GoPro.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. I mean, these cameras, we're professional broadcasters. I remember when I was in high school, an RCA TK-76 that weighed about 30 pounds on your shoulder with a beta pack on your other shoulder, about 100 pounds between them. That was probably a $50,000 unit. Today, these GoPros are fit in your hand, and the quality of video is through the roof. It's fantastic.
4K. You know, you can upload
4K. 4K. It's really, really unbelievable how things have changed. So you started that, and you just started this following. People started following you.
Yeah. How I do, with my videos, a lot of aviation pilots, really, they don't come across like this, but when I am flying an airplane, every single thing I'm thinking about or, you know, I'm doing with the airplane, I speak it out loud.
Right.
So there, if I'm thinking something, I'm saying, you know, this is what I'm thinking about. Or when I'm touching a button, I'm telling them why I'm touching the button and what that button's doing. So when I do a YouTube video, there's two things I say that the viewers like to have. They want to be entertained, and they also want to learn something.
Right.
You know, those are two key points to a good video.
Entertainment, information.
Yeah. Exactly
right. And, you know, when you look at
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Believe All Ogre Again. DreamWorks Shrek the Musical is live on stage at the Cascade Theater April 5th through the 14th.
And then I saw her face.
The characters you love, the magic you can't resist. Shrek the Musical is hysterically funny. People of all ages will enjoy this show. Shrek the Musical at the Cascade Theater April 5th through the 14th. Tickets on sale now. Call 530-243-8877 or go to cascadetheater.org. Believe it.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, every Thursday night at 6 p.m., right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone, from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
Cigar connoisseurs and enthusiasts love going into their retailer's humidor and seeing what's new, what's exciting. It's like a kid in a candy store. And we've got a great way that you can enjoy and sample fabulous cigars from incredible manufacturers. It's the Cigar Dave Officers Club. Every month, you will receive three fantastic cigars in an Officers Club Ziploc pouch shipped directly to you for $22.95. Now, in the past year, we've had incredible selections. We had the World of Davidoff, which featured an Avo and a Davidoff Winston Churchill. We've had cigars from A.J. Fernandez, from Rocky Patel, from Plasencia Drew Estate, Sindicato Fonseca. Incredible cigars that you will love. Become a member of the Officers Club today. Join now. Go to CigarDave.com. Click on Officers Club. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. You will absolutely love it.
Don't go anywhere. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. Just 1 more minute until Cigar Dave returns. Your five-star general is back in 5, 4, 3, 2. It's Alpha Male Pleasure in the Stratosphere.
Oh, sort of like the Mile High Club.
This is the Cigar Dave Show from the annual Sun and Fun International Fly-In and Expo in Lakeland, Florida. And now, your aviator-in-chief, Cigar Dave.
Great privilege to have fantastic guests with us in the remaining of this half hour. We've got Captain Eric, A330 Captain on a major airline. And by the way, Captain Eric, your Instagram, how many followers do you have now?
A little over 35,000.
35,000. It is Eric, E-R-I-C-D, Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, Eric D. Jordan for Instagram. And we've also got Jason Shepard of M0A.com and Steve-O-1 Knievo, professional pilot and YouTuber, as well as all the other social media. Jason, in my hand, I've got the Private Pilot Blueprint. And if you go to privatepilotblueprint.com, you can get the book, and it also talks about ways that you can make sure you don't waste your money, because flying is not an inexpensive endeavor. But by the way, I got to tell you, there's a picture of you next to your Cessna 172. You are a suit looking very corporate, Jason. I got to tell you, it worries me.
I want to be like you when I grow up, Dave.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Very corporate. I got to tell you. Very pretty soon, you're going to have committees and lots of meetings, I can tell.
And harems.
Harem's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing to have. So tell us, Private Pilot Blueprint, the definitive roadmap to saving time and money on your private pilot certificate. You don't know what you don't know. I wish I had this when I learned to fly.
Absolutely. And I'm going to use the example you talked about with finding a flight instructor that just didn't fit with you. You know, when I was doing my commercial pilot certificate back in 2006, 2007, the airlines were hiring like crazy. I got passed around to 8 different flight instructors, because if you had time in your logbook and a heartbeat, everybody and their brother wanted to hire you at that time. So I had 8 different CFIs for my commercial pilot certificate. And this instructor knew I was great at slow flight, but I was terrible at steep turns, whatever it may be, and that never got translated and passed on to the next the next instructors. So that's what really made it all so difficult working through that here. So again, going back, and one thing I teach in there is to find a CFI that works with you, works for you. Find a CFI that works for your schedule. If maybe, Cigar Dave, you say, listen, Jason, I can only fly on the weekends. And I say, weekends don't work for me. I want to fly Monday through Friday. You have to find something that works for your schedule, right, your personality, within your budget as well with that.
And I need to come and visit you in Ocala because I want to get my seaplane rating. And you, as a certified flight instructor and CFII instrument instructor, yes, you also can teach in a seaplane.
Seaplane.
What is it, about 8 hours, 10 hours?
It's around that. Someone of your skill level, though, Dave, it's going to be less.
I hear that is the most fun rating of any rating to get.
There's something romantic about standing on the float of an old Piper Cub and having a hand prop it. And then hop back in.
Oh, no, no. I'm not hand propping it. That I can tell you. That the general doesn't do. However, if you want to hand prop it, you can get back in. But there is something very cool about landing on a lake or landing on water where you've got this, you know, instead of a strip, you're looking at a giant, you know, opportunity to land.
It's beautiful, but the beauty is difficult in that way.
It is.
The choppy water is actually much easier for depth perception. Glassy water landings are one of the hardest things you'll do in a seaplane.
Really?
You don't have depth perception on glassy water. If it's perfectly still, you don't know when the water is coming, but you know it's coming. Whereas if there's a little bit of a chop, a little bit of a wave, it's just like a runway. I can actually see the water coming.
Well, that's why I'm going to a pro like you, Jason, because you are going to guide me on the right path. And Steve-O One Knievo, YouTuber, professional pilot, tell us about your next video. What was the last video you did?
Well, the last one was Sun and Fun. I flew with the Aeroshell team. And I did a really cool video where Speedo, the number two pilot for the Aeroshell team, brought me up board. And we did a whole video together, you know, showcasing what they do. But next week's going to be pretty exciting. I'll be flying here with Jason for my first official tailwheel lesson. And we're going to fly a 1940 J3 Cub. And we're going to do some cool landings on a grass strip. I'm going to attempt to land it, you know, for the first time. And my first official flight lesson. It's a lot of fun. It's going to be really exciting.
Being that I am on a tricycle type of gear, as most airplanes are today, what's the biggest challenge, Jason, in landing a tail dragger like the DC-3 or that Cub? Because to me, I look at it and I said, it's kind of weird taxing. You're up about 30 degrees at an angle. What's the biggest challenge?
On the landings, it's all about leverage. Think in a standard tricycle gear airplane, the distance from the nose wheel to the main wheels is very, very short.
Right.
There's less opportunity for that airplane to get, we call it, squirrely.
Right.
Whereas if you look at a Piper Cub, the mains are so far up front, and that tail wheel is another, you know, 10 feet back behind you. That tail wheel can come and wrap around you real quick, and that's called a ground loop. And that tail comes around and doesn't make for a very good day. So you have to land those mains straight and keep that tail straight. Crosswind landings and a tail wheel, that's prime ground looping territory there.
Well, I can tell you that our mutual friend, Captain Cy Emeris, retired as the number two seniority captain at U.S. Airways. Got to be about 10 years ago now. Flew the A330, the first one at U.S. Airways to fly the A330 and became the Czech airman for U.S. Airways. His first professional pilot job with Allegheny Airlines as a first officer on a DC-3.
Wow.
So when you look at the DC-3s, you come in here at the Sun and Fun, you look at that saying, that's got to be weird, climbing up at an angle and talk about that's also a major challenge. I want to tell everyone, if you are interested in purchasing anything from M0A, I think we're going to share this with all of our Cigar Dave listeners. You go to M0A.com, use the promo code SNF30, that is Sierra November Foxtrot 30, you get 30% off. So we're going to share that with you. You have to be at Sun and Fun, but, Jason, we appreciate that. Steve-O One Knievo, a professional pilot and YouTuber, also available on Twitter and all the other social media. Continued success. Great job. Really enjoy your videos.
Thanks,
I'm glad
Dave,
you could both join us
today.
Thank
you. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you.
We have much more coming your way in hour number two from the flight line at the 45th Annual Sun and Fun International Flying and Expo. Mark Baker, CEO of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, will be joining us. We'll be conducting the National Cigar Litation and Libation Ceremony. And we'll be joined by Lights Leanhouts, the CEO of Sun and Fun. Much more coming your way. Hour two of the Cigar Day Show.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Representative Omar of Minnesota. Oh, I forgot. She doesn't like Israel. I forgot. I'm so sorry.
The president also thanked Jewish supporters for their votes in 2016 and looked forward to more support in 2020. Former South Carolina Senator Ernest Hollings, better known as Fritz, had a long distinguished career in the Senate, even an unsuccessful run for the Democratic presidential nomination. Moderate Democrat helped shepherd South Carolina through desegregation as governor, served six Senate terms, but was pretty much the junior senator from the state. Strom Thurmond retired at age 100 as the longest-serving senator in history. Hollings was 97 when he passed away this morning. Not going again to this year as this year's annual correspondence dinner, President Trump says it's a waste of time.
For the third year in a row, President Trump will be a no-show at the dinner attended by White House correspondents and news organizations.
The dinner is so boring and so negative that we're going to hold a very positive rally.
The president continually bashes the press, calling it fake news. And once again this year, he'll hold a rally on the night of the dinner. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Meanwhile, protesters from the Yellow Vest movement taking to the streets of France for the 21st straight weekend today, with hundreds gathered for a march outside Paris, one of the numerous protests around the country. The demonstration is being held over President Emmanuel Macron's policies. News and analysis at townhall.com.
There are some physical activities that you no longer partake in because they're too painful, such as playing golf or easily walking downstairs, hiking, or even sleeping peacefully through the night. Relief Factor wants to get you out of pain. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of listeners by reducing and at times even eliminating their daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, mine included. Over a month ago, I started taking Relief Factor, and within weeks, it had resolved a lower back pain issue for me, which is now gone. Pete and Seth Talbot are the father and son team behind Relief Factor and the three-week quick starter pack that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com. See the testimonials from folks all over the country who are getting their lives back with Relief Factor. Over 70% of those who try it, continuous customers. Why not be the next Relief Factor success story? Go now to ReliefFactor.com.
As the clock ticks down for British politicians and European Union leaders scrambling to find a way to make the Brexit work for them, there are various scenarios that could play out, as we hear from Sarah Shackley reporting from London.
If Britain can't break the impasse, it risks crashing out of the EU without a deal. This could lead to tariffs on trade between Britain and the EU, as well as customs checks that could cause gridlock at ports and shortages of essential goods. Or there could be a breakthrough. Britain might find a compromise solution that gains majority support in its deeply divided parliament. If the parliament can't agree on a way forward, European Council President Donald Tusk is urging a Brexit delay of up to 1 year. But with built-in flexibility to let Britain leave earlier if he has an agreement in place. Or there could be a second referendum. Sarah Shackley, London.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A 23-year-old ex-convict accused of pulling a cruel hoax by pretending to be a long-missing Illinois boy was charged with making false statements to federal authorities.
The FBI said Brian Rainey had made false claims twice before, portraying himself as a juvenile sex trafficking victim. The Dodd, Ohio man was jailed in Cincinnati after telling authorities he was 14-year-old Timothy Pitson, who disappeared in 2011 at the age of six. The FBI declared Rini's story a hoax after performing a DNA test. U.S. Attorney Benjamin Glassman said the charge should send a message about the damage such false claims can do. Patrick Frost reporting.
The Big Three Basketball League will have its games televised this season on CBS and CBS Sports Network. Three-on-three league of former NBA players expanded from 8 to 12 teams for the upcoming year, which starts June 22nd. CBS Sports Network will air the league's draft on May 1st. More at townhall.com. I'm Rhonda Rockstra.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dacus.
Pacific Justice Institute has once again defended and affirmed the constitutional right of a street evangelist to proclaim the gospel in a public location. You see, PGI's Washington State Attorney, Jorge Ramos, successfully defended this street preacher in Kennewick, Washington, who had been criminally charged with violating a noise ordinance. Our client's alleged crime? Proclaiming the gospel and defending life in front of a Planned Parenthood abortion mill. This is another big win for free speech because the judge threw out the case. Visit PJI.org and download our free guide to public preaching.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at PacificJustice.org. That's PacificJustice.org.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
World of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
What an absolutely gorgeous day at the 45th Annual Sun and Fun International Fly-In and Expo. On the flight line, 80 degrees. Low humidity, blue skies with some scattered clouds, being around airplanes, talking airplanes and aviation, cigars. We've got our libation ceremony coming up momentarily. Life is good. And we welcome you back for hour number two, along with my special co-host for hour number, well, the entire show, Captain Eric, A330 Captain Extraordinaire. Will be joined in just a few minutes by Mark Baker, the Chief Executive Officer of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. And at the bottom of the hour, Lights Leanhouse, the President and CEO of Sun and Fun, will be joining us. But first up, we need to get to a very important piece of business, and that, of course, is litation and libation ceremonies.
Cigar pre-litation check. With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy, it's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
Sergeant Steve is so excited. He wanted to hit the end so he could go to the flight line. I mean, he wants to go see the airplanes. But we've got a special cigar, one of the March 2019 Officers Club selections. There were two Gurkha Marquesas and a Gurkha Ghost. A sleek, alluring cigar with a beautiful, dark Brazilian Arapiraca Maduro wrapper, an aged Criollo 1998 binder, Dominican Nicaraguan fillers, a rich, medium-bodied cigar, notes of cocoa, cinnamon, a fabulous cigar. Gotten lots of great comments, and there's a reason why when the Gurkha Ghost was launched a few years ago, it started flying off retailer shelves. A magnificent cigar. And now I've got to find my cutting device. I've got a bat type of double-edged stainless steel guillotine. I will cut the end of my cigar. And I've got the Cigar Dave Mala. Make America Lightate Again Lighter. Big jet flame. Actually, Captain Eric, wow. I say, you put three of these on the back of a 727, and you're ready to go. Or the back of your car. It's just like being on a 727. I will.
Can you point that away from my eyebrows,
well,
please?
It is a master flame. Wow. And I will huff and rotate.
Yes, yes.
Taking my time.
Hmm.
And again, not a lot of wind today, but you definitely need a litation device that can handle wind. Okay. Excellent. Now.
Thank you.
8 hours bottle to throttle. No boozy on the flight line. That is the rule. So, we need something cool and refreshing on this warm day at Sun and Fun. It is our tradition. We have some cool, refreshing, fresh squeeze lemonade. You can hear it. Four lemons with water and ice. I use stevia, a little bit of sweet and low for you.
Yes.
Sergeant Steve goes old-fashioned sugar. But let me take a sip from my large plastic souvenir cup. Actually, I still have about four of these. Every year I come to Sun and Fun, I get one of these things. You know,
refreshing.
There's nothing like natural, real, cool, crisp lemonade on a warm day. Now, Captain Eric, I want to bring you in. I've been talking about the 737 MAX issue the last 2-3 weeks here on the show. Great reporting by the Seattle Times and the Wall Street Journal. It has come out this week that the Ethiopian Airlines pilots followed the amended procedure when there was either a runway trim or an MCAS issue, their maneuvering augmentation system that Boeing had to concoct because they could not design an airplane that was inherently stable from the beginning because they had to stretch and stretch and stretch a 1968 Boeing 737 fuselage. They needed bigger engines, and to accommodate that, they had to raise the engines forward of the wing and higher, redesign the landing gear. All of a sudden, it changes the CG, the center of gravity, and you've got an inherently unstable aircraft. Well, it turns out that Boeing came out with amended instruction after the Lion Air crash. The cockpit data recorder and voice recorder, turns out the two pilots of Ethiopian Airlines were following the procedure to the T. They disconnected what was needed to be done. They used the manual trim wheel, which is obsolete in any modern-day aircraft. However, there's a little unknown pitfall that every time you use, there was so much pressure on that jack screw that you have to release pressure on the yoke. You actually have to almost pull back, release, and then you use the trim. Well, Boeing didn't say that. Not too many pilots know about that. Boeing is in a big hurt and big load of trouble. And I believe, Captain Eric, you tell me, if I am a captain, a first officer, a pilot, a passenger, a flight attendant, I have no confidence in a Boeing 737 MAX.
Well, I mean, I don't know how to answer that, General. It's such a heartbreaker that that this has happened, and that it appears at this point that there could have been a fix, or I don't know. But
well, how on earth does Boeing sell a system where the only one angle of attack sensor as standard and no warning light in the cockpit as standard? In fact, now it looks like there may have been a bird strike or debris that hit that angle of attack indicator, which rendered it useless. Why do we fly with dual radios? Why do we fly with dual autopilots? Why is there redundancy and quadrundancy built into airplanes? Because things and systems fail. And how Boeing could let an airplane out of their factory with safety, important safety items as optional, is beyond the realm it's unfathomable to me.
No, it is.
How they
it
could
is.
Do that. And for Boeing to sit there and initially try to blame the Lion Air pilots and foreign airplane training, again, unconscionable. And I know that there have been pilots at American and some at Southwest that said, we never saw anything about this MCAS system. And it came out also this week that engineers at Boeing had an opportunity. They wanted to take the latest and greatest state-of-the-art avionics and really make that a smart airplane like the Airbus. However, the reason the engineers didn't is because of pressure from management. They wanted to keep it very similar to the old 737s. In the contracts with all the airlines, there's a $1 million rebate in the event that more than 1 hour of a iPad type of ground instruction was necessary. If pilots had to go into the simulator to learn new systems, $1 million for every plane that Boeing delivered to these airplanes. Now, you tell me that there is not a little issue going on there where Boeing had the opportunity in the 21st century to say, we're going to put a avionics package that is as good as general aviation. Captain Eric, you saw the general aviation avionics, state-of-the-art moving maps and autopilots with an automatic level button and weather, all sorts of things. Boeing had to stay in the 1980s because airlines said, well, we don't want to change anything, otherwise it's going to cost us money to put pilots in a simulator. Again, money over safety. Boeing should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope when this is all said and done that that's not going to be what the findings are as far as safety versus the financial side. But that's always been, a big part of aviation within our community. Unfortunately, you look at your training cost. I don't know anything about the 737 MAX. I've never flown that airplane. I flew the 75, 76, and I flew the 727. All great airplanes, but they did not have any, systems like this on board. The Airbus, we've got what we talked about earlier about our flight laws that protect us. But, it's like triple redundancy on our stuff. So I don't.
And you can still manually control the plane. There's
absolutely
ways to do that.
You now, turn the computers off very easily.
And we've done that
to.
When we've been in the simulator and done steep turns and stalls and other maneuvers. But here's something that's very interesting about the 737 MAX. When you look at a 757 and 767, which you flew, clean sheet designs.
Yes.
Okay, they didn't say we're going to take a 707 and we're going to stretch it and widen it. They said clean sheet design. Had they done that with the new, initially they were going to call it the 7X7 or the 797 or 7, whatever it was, essentially they would have not had the issue with the center of gravity to create a system that overrides the pilot unbeknownst to them, because the new clean sheet design would have handled big engines for the fuel efficiency. So, it's never one thing in an aviation accident, but when you look at Boeing, the engineers were pressed to get that airplane into service. They were pressed to cut corners. They were pressed to dumb it down. They were pressed not to tell the FAA, or they did tell, but not airlines, about the MCAS system. To me, all these point into a very flawed design. And if I'm a passenger, I have zero interest in flying on a 737 MAX. I don't care what the software has been improved. The fact that you need a system to take over because you've designed an inherently unstable aircraft in and of itself sounds loads of warning sirens. When we come back from Sun and Fun, now that I'm on my soapbox, we will be joined by Mark Baker, the CEO of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. We're coming to you front and center from the flight line at the AOPA tent. We appreciate their great hospitality. And Mark, a fellow cigar connoisseur and aviator, longtime friend, will be joining us around the corner.
The General is now on Instagram. Follow him for pictures of the latest cigars, libations, and what he's enjoying during the show.
That could be interesting, and we'll have to block out some faces.
Go to Instagram and search Cigar Day.
Cigar connoisseurs and enthusiasts love going into their retailer's humidor and seeing what's new, what's exciting. It's like a kid in a candy store. And we've got a great way that you can enjoy and sample fabulous cigars from incredible manufacturers. It's the Cigar Dave Officers Club. Every month, you will receive three fantastic cigars in an Officers Club Ziploc pouch shipped directly to you for $22.95. Now, in the past year, we've had incredible selections. We had the World of Davidoff, which featured an Avo and a Davidoff Winston Churchill. We've had cigars from A.J. Fernandez, from Rocky Patel, from Plasencia, Drew Estate, Sindicato, Fonseca. Incredible cigars that you will love. Become a member of the Officers Club today. Join now. Go to CigarDave.com. Click on Officers Club. $22.95 per month gets you the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. You will absolutely love it.
We remind you that today's flight is 100% cigar-friendly. Tampering with, debating, and destroying the enemies of pleasure is encouraged. Light up and relax as your five-star pilot, Cigar Dave, has more from the flight line.
And we continue from Sun and Fun. What a gorgeous day. just being around airplanes and aviation-related activities and aviation-related personnel, and one of the great champions for general aviation and student pilots and those of us that enjoy the freedom of flying the American-friendly skies, Mark Baker, the president and CEO of the AOPA, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, also publisher of AOPA Pilot Magazine and FlightTrainingMagazine.com, and also, I should say, our landlord for our broadcast today. Once again, you've been very generous in allowing us to use your Wi-Fi and your facilities from the AOPA Pavilion here at Sun and Fun, and we greatly appreciate it, Mark.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having us out here today, and we do enjoy your energy here at Sun and Fun. It's something I look forward to every year, is sitting down and talking about good things in aviation.
Aviation, we got you some cigars. I know you live down in the Keys.
Yes, I do.
Exactly.
It looks like you got some good ones here, too, man.
I do. Got some nice Alex. Actually, that one came from Sindicato, so try the Cubico. You're going to like that. And the Particulares, a very Cuban, Cuban-esque reminiscent cigar.
Really?
You'll enjoy that. I still have to come visit you down in the Keys.
You keep saying.
Playing. I know. I got to do that. I'll bring the cigars. Yeah, we'll have plenty of. I'll get the stone crabs, too, because I've got.
We'll go and get them fishing. We'll get some fish. We'll go and get some fresh fish.
Sounds like a winner. Now, you alternate between the Keys and also in Frederick, Maryland, the headquarters of AOPA.
Yep.
Maryland in the summer, not a bad place to be.
Not so bad.
Exactly. So, Mark, we always sit and talk about, just like the cigar industry has challenges, government interference, government relations, what's the latest for people that want to fly the friendly skies? Those of us that are private pilots, general aviation, you know, we've heard about privatization of the FAA. Is government going to stay off our backs under President Trump?
You know, I think the good news is that there's a huge demand in the airline side, but not just the airline side, for jobs, and they call it the workforce issues in every part of aviation. If I was a young person in high school or somewhere along that line, you got to go into aviation. I mean, there's never been a better career opportunity financially, as well as more fun than anybody else can do in any of their other jobs. And the government now sees us, by the way. They are really working with us on our high school education program. We got to figure out how to help flight schools be better. We need more examiners out there. But the good news is, Dave, one of the things that's really interesting is the number of active pilots actually jumped up by 40, 50,000 here in the last couple of years. Between the basic med, we talked about that a couple of years ago, 47,000 people flying on that, got the government out of the way on that one, so you work with your own doctor. Rusty pilots back at 6,000-10,000 of those here recently. More private pilots getting their license this year than any time in the last 20 years.
Really? What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think that there is careers, but I think the economy is good. You know, the economy is really good, and I think people are now looking, saying, I want to do that. Why not now? So it's a time to get into aviating, and it's never been a better time if you want to do it as a career.
Well, we've got Captain Eric here, who's an Airbus A330 international captain, and he started as a private pilot back in college, Cessna 150.
High school. Senior high school.
Cessna 152 here. Mark, what'd you learn on?
I bought a Cessna 150 from a farmer in Rice Lake, Wisconsin for $4,400. I had to sell my Dodge van in 1977 to get it done.
That was a chick magnet back then, that Dodge van, Mark.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, that's another story for another day. But I gave up on that to get my Cessna 150 and get started on it. And, you know, and flying it for, at that time, it really almost broke the bank when gas went from 70 cents a gallon to a dollar.
What we'd wish for a dollar for a gallon of aviation gas, avgas.
On the other hand, I was making $2.29 an hour, so you know.
That's exactly right. But, you know, we see people who start as general aviation pilots that become airline pilots, and we need that feeder system. We need to continue that. And I think it's good that the FAA, after the Colgan Air crash in outside of Buffalo, said we need to have more experienced pilots, and the way to do that, build up time, like the old days where people would say, I got a flight instruct, or I'm going to work, you know, for a private company in the right seat, building time, experience. You wouldn't go to a surgeon and say, hey, it's your first day out of med school, have at it. No, you want a guy that's been taught under someone as an apprentice, if you will, as a resident intern for a number of years.
And the good news in today, if you're a young person wanting to get into aviation, if that's your idea for a career for flying, you can actually make a few bucks while you're a flight instructor. You know, not too many years ago, you flight instructed for not a lot of money, but today you can make 30, 40, 50 bucks an hour flight instructing, which allows you to continue to reinvest in all your other ratings while you're making enough money to get by, which gives you the opportunity then to either go in the regionals or the airlines. The big difference today is people always thought that this was a path through the military. The military doesn't have enough of their own pilots today. So the general aviation world is one's going to drive the numbers from, you know, we fell down to 15,000 privates a year, now over 20. But if you're really going to start to see 30 or 40,000 licenses a year, it's going to come through general aviation.
So we had Jason Shepard of M0A.com. He has revolutionized. I'm sure you remember, and he's still around, John and Martha King.
Yeah,
I bought their courses. Yeah, great folks, and I always enjoyed their style. But you have a younger guy, Jason, came in and said, we're going to be a freemium model. We're going to put loads of content available, technology that wasn't there 10 years ago with YouTube and on your phone and Instagram. And so now what's happened is we're seeing a newer generation of technologically savvy people saying, yeah, I'd like to get into that. They start watching his videos. They buy his course. And now what we're seeing is people that are that can get information easier today than you did when you and I started to fly way back. And I know that AOPA is a wonderful resource, and there are many resources for people that know nothing about flying but want to learn. Tell us about those.
Yeah, AOPA.org, if you go online, will give you a place to start about how do you understand how to evaluate a flight school? How do you figure out what you should be expecting to spend to get your private license? It was interesting talking to Jason the other day, too. He's got about 80% of his people coming through his classes that are just want to be GA pilots, and they want to just fly, which is what we've obviously encouraged, both whether they come from the airline world or they just want to stay in GA. But those resources that are available to you to tell you where there's flight schools that have been successful and the stuff that you can do to learn to be safe, and we constantly try to remind pilots, we are the ambassadors for the general public that don't know much about aviation and aviation safety. Unfortunately, news at 11 doesn't help us, but yet it's a very small number. And we've got a very safe system. We've got a system in America that's not unequaled in the world for access and where you can go. You can go from Florida here to Seattle without talking one time on the radio if you want to.
Now, I am an instrument-rated pilot. I like talking to air traffic control because I like being in the system. And in the event there is an emergency, I'm talking to an air traffic controller at one of the centers or approach control. But what is amazing is I can file my flight plan. I can get all the weather data now with iPad applications and ForeFlight and all the technology, both on the ground and in the cockpit. I don't get a separate bill to file a flight plan, get a weather briefing. I don't get a bill in the mail like in Canada or in Europe or China. I pay a tax for every gallon of avgas, aviation fuel that I buy. It's automatically in there. I don't have to submit a report. I don't have to worry about a quarterly filing. And the last number of years, we've seen people want to privatize the FAA and go to a NAV Canada system. Why is that bad?
It's a really bad idea.
Aside from the obvious, which I just explained.
It's a really bad idea. You know, generally when we talk about privatization, we talk about smaller government. I actually think this would wind up with bigger government because it would be people collecting all these fees at different levels and all those things. The idea that we were going to create a board and be centric to about 300 airports that are used by the airlines was a problem. We've got this great national resource called 5,000 public use airports around this country. And we've got 200,000 general aviation airplanes running around this country, about 15,000 airliners. So while the airlines move about 750 million people a year through the course of the year, we would still move about 170 million people a year go through some kind of a ride in a general aviation airplane.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a pretty significant part of either the business movement, recreational movement, going to see your family, whatever it is, flight training. There is a significant economic issue with general aviation in this country, which is totally unique to any other part of the world. So we wanted to protect that freedom. We want to work on the things with the airlines, which I do, on next-gen communications and all kinds of stuff like that.
Well, we saw it St. Petersburg, Florida, Albert Whitted Airport. Former mayor wanted to close it down and develop it, and AOPA led the fight. And he finally came around saying, you know what, this is a big economic driver for downtown St. Petersburg. And it went to a vote. And an overwhelming majority of citizens in St. Pete said, don't touch that airport.
That's right.
So that is a good thing. We'll continue with Mark Baker, the president, CEO of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and I should say also more importantly, a fellow Alpha and cigar connoisseur, as we continue from the flight line at Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida.
Get the latest cigars, hand-picked by the General, each month, delivered straight to your door. When you join the Cigar Dave Officers Club for just $22.95 a month, you'll receive three premium cigars in a customized Ziploc Cigar Dave pouch. To join, go to CigarDave.com.
Yeah.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Alpha males travel in style, whether by land, sea, or the air. From the Sun and Fun International Expo in Lakeland, Florida, your Aviator-in-Chief, Cigar Dave.
The official start of the Aviation Expo and fly-in season, if you will, is officially upon us. And it starts in Lakeland And if you are listening to us either on our flagship in the Cigar City of Tampa on 102.5 FM The Bone or WDBO in Orlando, you are just about 30 minutes from Lakeland, the site of Sun and Fun. You need to pop over. It goes on the rest of today, Saturday, and tomorrow, Sunday. Great way to spend a day. Beautiful weather around aviation. Captain Eric, I don't know if you see that. That is a former 747 Rolls-Royce RB211 turbofan engine that has now been made into like a little guest transporter. We've posted pictures in the past.
Yeah, what's the smoke coming from there?
Well, it's simulation. You see everything here at Sun and Fun. Mark Baker, the president and CEO of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, joins us. Mark, let me ask you. People fly in. A lot of people always ask me. They go, so how does it work? You're a private pilot. You fly your plane to an airport. Like, is there a landing fee? Do you have to pay to park? Well, we talk about that model. It's called the FBO, a fixed base operator that provides various services.
You know, the market works pretty well for the most part. There's about 5,000 public use airports in this country, about 3,000 different FBO or fueler systems in this country. And for the most part, at the large majority of the airports, you can come and go, and there's either a small overnight fee to park your airplane, could be $10, $15, at a lot of these municipally owned airports. And we find that to be pretty fair. Some of the bigger airports, there is a two or three, and we hope, more for FBOs because competition ideally keeps the market fair. Their costs are a little higher in some of these urban markets, so we recognize that. So the fuel prices.
West Palm Beach, $9 a gallon, $8.50 a gallon. Three competitors, no pricing whatsoever. There's no competition there. It's all high.
Well, you bought the really good gas, apparently.
Right.
There's only one kind of gas. But anyway, so we want to hold those operators and those cities and airport sponsors responsible. Because when the FAA and the taxpayer built these 5,000 public use airports with taxpayer money, largely out of the air transport fund, the idea that we can have a perpetual system here that is paid for by fuel taxes and represents access for the public. That's why I call it a port. It's not a private airport. It's a port.
Right.
No different than a seaport. And, reasonable fees are accepted, non-discriminatory fees, so it can't really charge differently from one airplane to another, from one user to another, are part of the requirements for them to continue to get their AIP funding, airport improvement funds. And we don't think in some cases that's been as managed from the FAA on down. I've been very disappointed with this group within the FAA. This is their job, the airports division, and we have met a number of times, and we plan to hold them accountable for their role in making sure that it's fair, not discriminatory, and create public access to these airports. And that's the way the system works. We want people coming in doing business, coming in to see their family, coming in and going at reasonable prices. We want the FBO industry to be profitable, because without a profitable FBO industry, we won't have them. We don't want that. But we want it to be fair. It doesn't make sense for one area to be $9 a gallon and 30 miles away for it to be $3 a gallon.
Right. And again, when the public taxpayer is putting the bill for much of these improvements, you're exactly right. And you have to remember, you talk about all the thousands of airports that are in this country. You have some small towns where if somebody is ill, an air ambulance flies in. They don't have to go. Somebody lives in rural Georgia. They can be flown from that area to Atlanta or another big city. They don't have to drive 200-300 miles to a big airport to get commercial service. People forget there's so many small cities and towns that have these airports. And I know, because I fly into them and find different places to go for lunch or even for business. I'm able to fly into different places that I don't have to go into the big city airport, but is actually closer to where I'm doing business. So it really is, we're very fortunate to have all these thousands and thousands of airports. And many people think, oh, there's only like 100 airports, 200 in the country. Not so at all.
That's right. These thousands of airports, and we've worked now with Congress in creating a new energy level about reinvesting in some of these regional airports that are disaster relief airports, whether they be Santa Monica for earthquake or, as we saw last year down in the Keys, where we had to use Marathon and Key West because the road was closed for 10 days. The only way in and out was through an airplane.
That's right.
And water supplies, all those kind of things. We've seen it in New Jersey. We've seen it in Texas. The only way in and out of these disaster relief areas, current flooding in Nebraska.
Panama City.
Yes.
That's it.
That's right.
You've got to bring things in, and that's when they really realize what a jewel that the public airport is.
Yes. And it's paid for already by the taxpayer a long time ago.
That's right. Freest system in the world. I love it. I don't have to file any reports. I don't get a bill at the end of the month. The more I fly, the more fuel I use, the more I pay.
That's right. That's fair.
That is a very fair system. I don't need any more paperwork. Thank you very much. Mark Baker, the president and CEO of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. As always, wonderful to have you. Wonderful to see you. Thank you for the hospitality. I'm telling you, next fall, we have to do, I'm coming down to the Keys to see you.
Great.
We will do some cigars. We'll do some stone crabs.
Yep.
And shoot the bull a little bit. Talk aviation. Talk about the good life.
The good life.
All good.
See you then.
All right, Mark Baker of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. When we come back, the final and concluding segment from the 45th Annual Sun and Fun International Flying and Expo, we're joined by John Lights Leinhouts, the CEO. What a fantastic gathering of about 300,000 aviation enthusiasts, pilots, people that just enjoy being outside and being around airplanes. We'll be joined by Lights and wrap it up from the flight line around the corner.
Get the latest cigars, hand-picked by the General, each month, delivered straight to your door. When you join the Cigar Dave Officers Club for just $22.95 a month, you'll receive three premium cigars in a customized Ziploc Cigar Dave pouch. To join, go to CigarDave.com.
Hi, this is Rocky Patel. If you're a beginner, or if you just enjoy a great mild cigar like I do in the morning, I suggest you try the Vintage 99. This 7-year-old Connecticut wrapper delivers a creamy, mild, smooth flavor. It's very, very balanced on your palate, and it absolutely is delightful. Tons of flavor, a perfect draw, and an incredible ash. This cigar is smooth. It will entice you to enjoying more and more of the Vintage 99s. It's just a nice, great, balanced, smooth cigar. Look for it, the oldest Connecticut shape in the market today. I'm Rocky Patel, and I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at RockyPatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigar smoking can cause cancer and heart disease.
The Cigar Dave Show is available 24/7, 365 via the Cigar Dave mobile app for Android, iPhone, as well as Amazon Kindle. You don't need to be in front of a radio. You just need to have your mobile device ready to go. And you can listen to me take on the enemies of pleasure. Talk about the alpha male good life as we talk cigars, spirits, diversions, grilling, everything associated with the alpha male good life. So go download the Cigar Dave mobile app today, presented by Diamond Crown. And you can listen to the show live noon to 2 Eastern time anywhere around the world. And as soon as the show is done, we run a continuous loop. The show is also available on demand, also our Twitter feed, Facebook feed, and the ability for you to record a message and send it directly to us. So go right now, if you've got an Android, an iPhone, or the Amazon Kindle, go and download the Cigar Dave mobile app presented by Diamond Crown. Never miss a minute of the Cigar Dave Show with the Cigar Dave mobile app.
Don't go anywhere. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. Just 1 more minute until Cigar Dave returns.
Your five-star general is back in 5, 4, 3, 2. Command Center Alpha has taken to the skies today. From the annual Sun and Fun International Fly-In and Expo, your sky pilot of Alpha Male Pleasure, Cigar Dave.
What an absolutely gorgeous way to spend an afternoon. Beautiful weather, warm, being around the scent of jet fuel, avgas, the sound of planes buzzing in the air, flying with their turbojet engines, and just people having a good time, walking around, smiling, being around aviation. And there is a man that we have to end the show with, only appropriate. There's no such thing as lights off with our next guest. It is always lights on. John Lights On Lienhouts, the president and CEO of the Sun and Fun International Flying and Expo, year 8 lights. Great to have you back. The enthusiasm, the energy continues. Captain Eric lived in Tampa 27 years?
Yes.
Has never been to a Sun and Fun. I made him come.
I know, isn't it?
And what did you think, Captain Eric? Tell him.
It's just like you said, everybody is in such a good mood here. It's fantastic. Everybody in this area, well, of course, everybody from all over the nation are here. But, I mean, it's everybody needs to be here. It's fantastic.
Everybody is here that's anybody.
All right. And we're going to have, what, when it wraps up, today's Saturday, when it wraps up tomorrow, Sunday, what, 300,000 people, something like that?
Absolutely. They come from all over the world. Every state in the nation is represented here, whether they're being coming in on the airliner or their own airplane or they're driving in. They come from all over. It's a phenomenal collection of great people that love the...
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Down that road, that one step forward, all of a sudden they start picking up steam and they'll take over and they get it done. But this event, this giant fundraiser, fuels that jet carrying those kids, those young men and women, into the future of aerospace.
Lights, even though Sun and Fun is 1 week, and I know you get no sleep during the week, that I know. But this is a 52-week job. I mean, this is the 45th year, and I can tell you, the last 8 years, every year it gets bigger and better. Better attendance. You're always improving it. It never ends.
It can't, because if you slow down for 1 second, you're going to get passed. And we're not in the business to beat anybody else out of the game. We just want to make this the best, enjoyable, rewarding experience for anyone that loves aviation. So we struggle with all the things we do wrong during this. So at the end of this event, we're going to go back and figure out what could we have done better. We get guests to give us ideas. We see things we could do better. And we start working on that. Day one for the next year's show is going to be Monday morning when we close after the Sunday night tail dragger. But what you got to understand is this is a vibrant, live, exciting events center. We are a KOA campground now for 51 weeks.
I didn't know that.
We are a fairgrounds for 51 weeks. We are a convention center for 51 weeks. We'll do 100 events on this campus between now and the next year's show.
I had no idea. Give us some examples of some of the events that will go on.
Carlisle, Pennsylvania brings a four-day car show down here. They'll do 450 classic cars across the auction block in 2 days. Thousands of cars out here.
Never knew that.
1,500 vendors selling car parts. We do a preempt to go to the big AKC dog show up in New York. They do the four-day event down here. The dogs that win here, they go there. We do gun show. We refer to those as Armament Expos.
Armament Expos. We say guns here on the Cigar Dave Show. It's okay.
So we do gun shows. We'll do six gun shows that are 3 days long all throughout the year. We do giant 1,000-person weddings, receptions, company events out here. We are the
number. Wait a minute. I could have had my bar mitzvah here.
You could have had the bar mitzvah.
Who knew?
And guess what? This is where they do the Florida State Barbecue Championship.
Oh, wait, when is that?
Wow.
That is the last weekend in January.
All right, we're marking that down, Steve-O. Sergeant Steve, we're coming back here. Lights, we're going to get all the info for you. We'll do a show. We want to come here. How many people? How many grills?
35,000 people will come to the barbecue. It's a Friday afternoon, evening, and all day Saturday. And the competition is big bucks. Well, we have Myron Mixon, the number one barbecue in the world, was in here, and he didn't even win.
You haven't met Colonel Ange from the Pooch Pit in the Western New York Theater of Operations. When Colonel Ange comes down, look out, man. Nobody comes a close second. So I didn't realize that, and this is right on the air, we're on the south end of the airport, of Lakewood and Linder Airport, that this is vibrant 52 weeks out of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do the Family Motor Coach Association rally down here. They'll bring in 600 motor coaches. They'll pack this place, and it goes for 5 days.
Was it always like this?
No.
Or under you?
I got here in 2011. They were doing one event a year.
One.
The fly-in. One event. Now we do 100. Now the cash doors are flowing, and we have become what they call a social enterprise. So we have a capital company. We rent the facility. We make money, and we put it into a social event. It's called education, aerospace education for the students. That's why we're able to put in over $500,000 annually into scholarships. We're doing 3 private pilots a month. Who does that? Nobody does that. And it's all because everybody comes to this event. Guess how many people do all this? 27. 27 people on the payroll.
So you are lean.
We are a lean, mean fighting machine. We dump down to fighter weight, and we're kicking ass. All right?
Now, let me ask you this. When we come in, there is a school. There's an academy there.
That's our high school.
That's the high school. Right.
That's
so
ours.
How many students are in the high school?
356 right now, of the 356 students, we've got 220 of them are in the Junior Air Force ROTC. That school is an academy. It's a workforce academy. It's all sciences. I'm sorry, you wouldn't want to go there because they don't have band, they don't have art, but you wouldn't go there.
I didn't go to band camp, okay? Let's just get that straight, all right? No band camp for me.
So those students, and they're top quality. They all carry a 2.75 grade point or better. We have 100% graduation. They all wear the uniform they chose to wear. They all have a chance for scholarships to fly, to fix, and go to college. We give out about $5,000 scholarships every year, and once you get the first one, you get 3 more for 3 more years. So our students are able to leave here, go to college, and leave with, that's right, no debt, walking right into a great career in aviation.
That is fantastic. What if somebody wants to get into aviation management?
Right here. Matter of fact, the school that Luke's going to has a professional course in aviation technician management. So they come out of here with their A&P license. They go over to the college. They learn how to manage it, and they can start their own A&P shop.
Outstanding. So really, giving you the future and all the money's raised goes right back into aviation. Aviation education continuing. So all these students are going to come back. One of them may have your job down the road.
Let's hope so.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, you've got probably enough gas in the tank for about another 400 years, so you're good. But when you say, you know what, I think I'm just going to kick back and enjoy a little bit, do a little more flying, because I know you were a military aviator.
Yes, sir. 27 years of Navy aircraft carriers. You know, as I said, it's a haze gray and underway is the only way. So I spent 27 years, 10 cruises, on 10 different carriers all around, sailed on every ocean on the planet, been to every continent, and had a wonderful life meeting the best people all around the planet. Now, we did have an old saying is up on the Ready Room board up there. It said, join the Navy, fly to exotic countries, meet interesting people, and kill them. But you know, we only did if they were bad. Only if they were bad.
Only if they were bad, exactly. And Lights, tell us how you got that nickname. We've talked about it before. Lights.
Hey, you know, everybody's going to get a nickname sooner or later. The Navy doesn't like to pick your own because that wouldn't be fair. I'd be Viper, right? Well, that wasn't going to work. So my last name is Leadhouse. And they go, well, you know, that sounds an awful lot like a lighthouse. But wait a minute, you're making so many stupid mistakes. I think the lights are out in that house. We're going to call you Lights Out.
Lights Out.
So I was Lights Out for about 3 years until I stopped making mistakes. Because you got to understand, in naval aviation, we're really brutal to each other. You just, the debriefs from every mission is they just, we chew each other up. But it makes you stronger, makes you better, makes you smarter, makes you more a professional. So the part of that is they get, you give you a really bad name and you learn to, you fight your way out of it. Because you're not going to get rid of it until you start getting smarter.
And Lights is what everybody calls. Nobody calls you John.
No,
it's Lights.
It's Lights. Everybody says, hey, there goes Lights again.
Exactly. I mean, you're like Tiger. I mean, nobody knows him by Elrod. Or is it Elrod, Eldrick, something? Yeah, Eldrick, right. It's Tiger. It's Lights.
So, hey, you want to know something really interesting? We just found out the other day. This is going to be a cool number. It's going to blow your socks away. So I told you about all the stuff we're doing, all those 100 events we do throughout the year. And we're doing all these students that are flying. So there's a lot of flight activity now, what we never used to have. Because I got 50 students right now that are in the pipeline learning to fly on our dime. 50 in the pipeline. So guess how much flying is going around. So we're bringing in jobs. We're bringing in gas prices that go down. So they did a research study 6 months, 2018. You know what they found our economic engine was? Right here in Central Florida. Sun and Fun, the Aerospace Center for Excellence, drives $249 million
wow.
of economic wow. impact to the region on an annual basis.
That is huge. And I'll tell you, before you got here, things were iffy with Sun and Fun, and you came in and really righted the ship. Tell us how you got the gig, because really, you know, it's kind of out of the blue.
It was. My wife and I were going to retire, jump on a Harley, start riding around the country. I was retiring from Northrop in my second career, and it was done. And then a friend of mine emailed me and says, there's a job with your name on it down at Lakeland. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's it. I didn't even know there was a job open down there. So I looked online. Sure enough, I sent in a resume that says, too late. We've already closed out the – got 180 applicants. I said, well, okay, I'm done. And then I waited a couple of weeks, and I got a letter in the mail said, you made it in the top 30. Well, that's pretty cool. That sounds like fun. Then next thing I know, I get a phone call. You're in the top 10. Then I get a call and says, hey, how about an interview on a Thursday? I go, I got to be in Los Angeles for a Northrop meeting. Oh, well, okay, too bad. See you later. Click, hang up. Wait another day or two, get a call back. How about Friday? I said, okay, Friday is it. I'm coming to a birthday party in Tampa. I might as well come on down. We'll get you a hotel room. No, don't waste your money. I'm not going to get the job. I'll pay it on my own dime. So I come down, go to the interview, give them a ration. They asked me a bunch of questions, and they asked me, what do you think? You got any questions? I go, yeah. Whose bright idea was it to move that damn thing up into March? My buddy's up north of the Mason-Dixon line, can't get down here. And they're like, oh, that was a bad idea. Yeah, I tell you it was a bad idea.
Right.
So I figured at that moment, I'm done. All I'm going to get is a couple of VIP tickets. So I go to the hotel, and we're sitting there at the bar, and next thing you know, I get a phone call from the guy who was the headhunter. He says, you want the job? And I go, well, you got two more to interview on Monday. And he goes, do you want that job or not?
It's yours.
I said, okay.
And you moved from Jacksonville down to Lakeland.
Right. Moved from Jacksonville to Lakeland in August. Didn't have a place to stay. The chairman of the board had a ranch out on the north side. He had a double wide. We moved into trailer trash, and we were just having ourselves a good old time. We lived out there for 9 months, built a house here on the south side of Lakeland, and never looked back. And we keep a house in Jacksonville because our kids and grandkids are up there. So we got a 64 Comanche, and we zip back and forth to see them on the weekends and stuff now.
Well, I'll tell you what. I need, when things quiet down a little bit here, I'm going to fly Alpha Army 1 here to Lakeland. Let's have lunch here.
On me.
No. I'll take you to lunch. Don't worry about it. And we'll have a great time. And then what we need to do is I'll drive here where I'm going to stay overnight, and we'll have some cigars and some libations.
Now, if you're really serious about that,
yes.
I'll bring you to the inner sanctum of Trader John's Flyboy Bar and Aero Club.
Done.
Which is the number one personally owned bar in Lakeland. It's in my house.
You can perfect. Even better. Casa Lights.
Casa Lights.
It's a beautiful thing. Well, you've done a magnificent job, Lights. There's a reason that they hired you, the infectious personality, the energy, and it shows in Sun and Fun. Congratulations again. Luke, congratulations
thank
to you.
You.
Captain Eric, many thanks. And Sergeant Steve, great job as always. What a delight to come from the flight line at Sun and Fun. I could do this 52 weeks out of the year. Cigar Dave, the general saying, Mayor Humidor always be full. Mayor Cutter always be sharp. Mayor Ashby, extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. And may your landings the smooth, squeaky, and ultra grease so the passengers don't feel a thing like being on Alpha Army One and a magic carpet ride.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Well, the NCAA basketball championship is set. Virginia beat Auburn 63-62 on 3 last-second free throws by guard Kyle Guy, who said nailing the buckets with 6/10 of a second on the clock carried a lot of pressure.
It's tough. I mean, being at the line and with, you know, what, 70,000 people there, it's not easy. But I had faith in myself, and my teammates had faith in me.
Meanwhile, in the second and the free throws were the result of questionable foul against Auburn's Samir Doughty, who says he's not angry with officials.
The refs gonna make them calls, and it's right up there, right or wrong. They ref in the Final Four because they do a great job at refing. So they're gonna try the best of their ability to make the right call. So I can't question none of that.
In the second game, Texas Tech pulled away from Michigan State in the second half and held on to beat the Spartans 61-51. This was the Red Raiders' first Final Four in 93 years. Championship game set for Monday night at 8:30 Eastern. President Trump tapped into a lot of issues, including border security, during a speech before the Republican-Jewish Coalition annual meeting in Las Vegas. He told the audience that asylum claims at the southern border are a scam.
You look at this guy, you say, wow, that's a tough cookie. I am very fearful for my life. I am very worried that I will be accosted. If I am sent back home, no, he'll do the accosting.
Foreign ministers from the group of seven nations have revealed stark divergences in views on the Middle East after wrapping up a two-day meeting in France. The ministers concluded the meeting in the seaside resort of Dinard today by issuing mildly worded joint commitments on a range of issues. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Alexander Green, Chief Investment Strategist for the Oxford Club. Just for a moment, I'd like you to picture the perfect stock. No doubt it would have hundreds of billions in revenue, more than IBM, Facebook, and Google. It would probably be a leader in cutting-edge technology like smartphones and robotics. It would be on the verge of dozens of blockbuster announcements. But most of all, it would be ultra-cheap, trading at less than $3 a share. Now, it may seem crazy that such a stock exists, but it does. It's a cutting-edge tech company that has made deals worth hundreds of millions of dollars with Nokia, Microsoft, and Cisco, and a $29.2 billion deal with Apple. It's set to create 50,000 new jobs right here in America, and Donald Trump even calls it the eighth wonder of the world. Yet you've likely never even heard of the stock. Why? Because it trades under a secret name. To find out why the secret $3 stock can help you retire, simply go to OneStockRetirement.com. That's OneStockRetirement.com.
The deaths of 23 horses in just over 3 months at Santa Anita Track in California brings protesters out Saturday for another race day.
The track is hosting the $1 million Santa Anita Derby, while outside protesters hold signs reading, "Welcome to the Death Track" and "Stop Killing Horses." Protest organizer Heather Wilson says they want a ballot measure to shut the track down.
Let the voters in California decide if they want to keep this blood sport going or not. It's high time that this is outlawed. Too many animals are being killed, and these reform measures, it doesn't mean anything.
Track officials looking into the unusual number of deaths have not announced a singular cause. The Los Angeles DA's office is also looking into this. I'm Julie Walker.
Authorities in southern Louisiana investigating a string of suspicious fires at three African-American churches in recent days. Fire marshal says it's not clear whether the fires in St. Landry Parish are connected. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Seven women who said Bill Cosby sexually assaulted them decades ago, then labeled them liars by denying it, have settled defamation lawsuits against the imprisoned actor.
Court documents filed Friday in Springfield, Massachusetts, show a settlement has been reached since Cosby went to prison last fall in a separate Pennsylvania sex assault case. The 81-year-old Cosby is serving a 3-to-10-year prison sentence. Cosby's spokesman, Andrew Wyatt, said Cosby did not authorize the settlement reached between the women and American International Group, Incorporated, and vehemently denies the allegations. He added Mr. Cosby did not settle any cases with anyone. He is not paying anything to anyone. Patrick Foss reporting.
A Western New York man's been charged with threatening to kill Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. He was arrested after he placed a threatening call to Omar's Washington, D.C. office, calling her a terrorist, then threatening to shoot her. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
When you're looking at a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Live from the Fox News Radio Studios in New York City, fresh off the set of Fox and Friends, it's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everybody. Brian Kilmeade. Thanks so much for listening to the Brian Kilmeade Show on this Wednesday edition. Coming at the bottom of the hour, Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, will be with us. If you want to know what's happening at the border, that's one-stop shopping. He used to be a broadcaster. He actually, our Houston affiliate, owned by Dan, and I was able to talk to him on and offline to get me ready for all these interviews that I've been able to do. And now he's going to be joining us, telling us the real crisis that's on the border that even Democrats are admitting to. And with me in studio is one of America's finest historians with a brand-new book out. And I have it online, so I gave him money, even though I got this for free. It's called American Moonshot, John F. Kennedy and the Great Space Race. And I just got to warn you, once you start reading it, you're not going to be able to stop reading it. There's many surprises. They go back to the whole space race origin. So before we talk to Doug, let's get started.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
Last week, I heard Adam Schiff, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, demand that Bill Barr release the full report. This week, I'm hearing the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Gerald Nadler, demand that Bill Barr, again, violate the law. Bill Barr isn't going to comply with the Democrats' deadline. He'd have to commit crimes to do that.
That was John Ratcliffe, our Republican, listening to the Democrats' rant. And by the way, this story has moved. The subpoena is going to be issued. It was voted on. And you have Jerry Nadler not willing to wait 2 weeks for the Mueller report. I don't understand what the rush is. There's times to have controversy. If Barr was saying, I'm not releasing the Mueller report, I get it. But you got to be, you got to go actually obey the law, redact where it's necessary, and handle anything grand jury related.
Number two.
So if Vice President Biden does choose to run for President of the United States, I imagine this is a conversation he will be having to have with the American people.
Joe Biden is not a sexual predator.
Yeah. Now they're four. Joe Biden's unwanted touching calamity continues, but a bigger issue has just jumped in Uncle Joe's way and involves his family. I'll explain.
Number one.
I think the Democrats today, I spoke to a couple of them, and they all of a sudden they're changing because they're seeing it really is a crisis. It is a national emergency on the border. And let's see if they can do it.
Border crisis progress, not with the border itself, but with the Dems. Some are talking behind the scenes that there is a crisis, that numbers don't lie and data doesn't skew. What are the chances that action will be taken? I think the Republicans got to draw up a plan, do something bipartisan, make it basic, not too complicated, not comprehensive. Do it as it relates to asylum and judges. All right. And with me right now, as I mentioned, we'll discuss this, is Douglas Brinkley. So, Doug, congratulations on American Moonshot. And this is a great year to do it, not a coincidence.
Yeah, 50th anniversary of Neil Armstrong. The Eagle landed on the moon July 20th. So people of a certain generation are going to be recalling where they were when that amazing moment occurred. And on the July 21st, Neil Armstrong put his feet on the moon and history was made.
And you did talk to Neil Armstrong.
You know, I, Brian, was he was my boyhood hero. I grew up in Perrysburg, Ohio, and Wapakoneta was down the road. And at one point early in my career, I had written a biography of Dean Acheson, Truman's Secretary of State, and one of James Forrestal, Secretary of Defense. And I sent both of my books to his P.O. box. And I got a letter, said, I'll read one of the books, but I will not do interviews, but I'll stay in touch. I was trying to play the Ohio boy.
Because he didn't talk to anybody.
Didn't talk to anybody. Years later, I got a call from NASA. Neil Armstrong's birthday, he's turning 70. He's going to do an oral history interview for NASA, and he's asked that you are one of the people that does the interviews. So suddenly, right after 9/11, I met with Neil Armstrong. All the airports were closed, and he flew his own plane in and landed from Cincinnati into Houston. And we spent like 6 hours getting to talk, brown bag lunch, and amazing, particularly his Korean War story. What an amazing pilot he was in Korea.
Right. I mean, you should forget this. I almost look at apples and oranges because I, you know, they had to get my head around. You have to be a pilot first, and then astronaut's a brand new occupation. It's almost now we look at a space force. Well, why don't you just make it a part of the Air Force? No, I want to make it different, but you need to be a pilot first because only this time your flight goes outer space. In American Moonshot, you don't just say, here's how we land on the moon. You go back. Here's the beginning of the rocket. Here's how it became a competition. Here's what the Nazis did. But before we go any further, here's Apollo 11 touching down on the moon. Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, Charles Duke. Let's listen.
Contact right. Okay, engine stop. Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
So what was going on there?
Oh, man, it was history you ought to remember, now that we know Apollo 11 was a great success, engineering marvel, you know, we kind of take it for granted. But when they went up, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, 50-50 chance that they could pull this off, meaning they were going on a very risky mission. In 1967, Apollo 1, three astronauts were blown up at Cape Canaveral, White, Chaffee, and Grissom, just evaporated on the launch pad. So, you know, the fact that we were able to not just land on the moon, but bring the astronauts back alive. And as I mentioned in the book, when we finally had them all safe, Richard Nixon was president. He talked to the astronauts. But at Mission Control, they put up on the board John F. Kennedy's pledge to the country. We'd put a man on the moon by the end of the decade and bring him back. And we did it. So the moonshot stands for American can-doism and American exceptionalism.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
It's just amazing. And just to finish this off, so he wanted to do this. So, and as I told you on television about an hour ago, when I'm reading American Moonshot, I just thought I'd be talking about what led to America winning the space race, or temporarily winning, because it never really ends. I did not know how much space meant to Kennedy. He wasn't looking at a series of issues and deciding what America might want and what could catapult him from the Senate to the White House. This is something he thought about a lot, and he saw up close and personal the development in Germany before the war when he was just a kid traveling through that country.
Absolutely. And Kennedy always wanted to win. You know, he never lost a political election. He ran for Congress in 1946 and won. He won in 48. He won at 50. He won the U.S. Senate in 1952, won again in 1958, and then won the presidency. There's one story, Brian, where he's playing chess with Kenny O'Donnell, one of his aides, and he's about to be checkmated in the chess game, Kennedy, and he turns the table over the chess game and says, "I guess we'll never know who won." You know, and so he took that on. He really wanted to win the Cold War, wanted to beat the Soviet Union. And when they beat us with Sputnik, it gave him a political issue that we have a missile gap with Russia. And missiles became the big deal, intercontinental ballistic missiles, intermediate range ones. And I write in the book about Wernher von Braun, who built our Jupiter missiles.
From Germany.
But he's from Germany. He was the greatest rocket engineer scientist of all time. He was a genius. But he was Adolf Hitler's person to build rockets. And he built and designed the V-2. The V-2 rockets rained on London. They were trying to destroy Hitler, all of London. But von Braun and his, you know, a cabal of scientists smartly looked for American troops and turned themselves over and said, "Don't try us for war crimes, but we'll come and work for the U.S. government." And they did. Von Braun became a U.S. citizen. West Germany became a great ally of ours. And Jack Kennedy met von Braun in 1953. They both worked to pick Time magazine's Person of the Year for Henry Luce. And they chose Konrad Adenauer, the West German chancellor. And so von Braun and Kennedy became great friends. And one of the reasons we went to the moon is Kennedy knew that von Braun could do it if he said he was going to do it.
Right. And satellite technology, you can't – I mean, think about how we communicate today and how the Russians beat us to it. But there was something humiliating about Sputnik. So it's – you know, we always talk about the Sputnik moment. Why don't you put that in perspective?
Well, it's October 1957, and suddenly there's this beep, beep, beep going around the world. And lo and behold, the Soviet Union shocked us by getting a satellite into space before us. We had the technology to put a satellite up, but we just didn't have the willpower. And we weren't funding the projects properly, missile projects. Well, this gave Eisenhower, you know, he got a comeuppance. People were saying this happened on your watch. So by 1958, NASA's created. Eisenhower deserves credit for that. But also Lyndon Johnson from the Senate was a big pusher of creating of NASA. So Johnson and Eisenhower collaborate. Kennedy sees it as the wedge issue to beat Nixon in 1960. Famously, you know, he says, you know, if you elect Nixon, you will see a Soviet flag on the moon. If you elect me, we'll have an American flag on the moon.
So you said, too, which you also point out brilliantly, it's one of these things where you know you learn. I see a lot of historians do great jobs, but I don't love reading it. I love reading your stories because you told a story, and it wasn't easy. You took the Kennedy part of it. You start with Goddard. You bring in Kennedy. You let us know about the scientists, and then you bring them all together against the Russians, the Soviets, excuse me, and Kazakhstan still uses a launch site. But also interesting is, and I think you're the one who told me this, is that Kennedy had to be really tough on Eisenhower in order to become elected. He had to put down this lauded general. And Eisenhower wouldn't like that. And one of the first things Kennedy did after he won was fly down and basically apologize.
Yes.
But he meant it. You write in your book that Kennedy had decided that America's dilly-dallying space effort was symbolic of everything that had been wrong with the Eisenhower years. Because he was minimizing space, right? And here's this 40-year-old who wants to move to the future, and he wanted people to take him seriously by painting a future.
Boy, perfectly said. I mean, that's what Kennedy was about. He called his program the New Frontier, using trailblazers, pioneers. Space is the new ocean. But the New Frontier was about technology. You mentioned Kazakhstan. That was like our American South. That was a place that needed some money from the Kremlin. So they built a lot of their space operations there. Kennedy barely won the South in 1960. I mean, he won Texas by a hair, but by pouring in billions of dollars to cities like San Antonio, where Brooks Air Force Base is, Houston, Huntsville, Alabama, New Orleans, Tallahassee, Florida, the Space Coast of Florida, Norfolk area in Virginia, Cleveland, Pasadena, they poured in $25 billion to go to the moon, and this created jobs, infrastructure jobs, tech jobs. 400,000 people worked to get Neil Armstrong to the moon, and Kennedy saw it as economic stimulus jobs.
And the von Braun, the author of the American space program, really, he also understood democracy, that he had to keep selling, tell the American people this is why we're doing it, and market the thing. I remember, I think I dressed up as an astronaut. One of the last times I ever dressed up for Halloween, I dressed up as an astronaut. It was the coolest. The astronauts were the cool thing. And I was being sold that in my cereal. I was being showed that in magazines, and we were doing it in costumes. People looked up to astronauts. They were out of this world.
They were out of this world. They were my early heroes, you know, all of them, as they said.
So you love the research for this book.
Oh, man. John Glenn, writing about John Glenn and Alan Shepard and Gus Grissom. These are amazing people. Some of the astronauts came from Purdue University because, Brian, they had in the first college-like degree you can get. If you went to Purdue, you can get a pilot's license as an undergrad if you took a course or two. So if you like planes, you went to Purdue. So Neil Armstrong went to Purdue and Gus Grissom went to Purdue. Many of the astronauts went there. Where I teach, Rice University, where Kennedy gave a famous speech in 1962 about space, we're a big beneficiary. Houston overnight became, instead of the Bayou City, we became Space City USA. And in fact, 1962, the Houston Astros baseball team, and then the NBA, the Rockets coming to Houston. It transformed a Gulf South city into being a technology hub, and it still is that today.
Right. But there might be truth about Velcro and the truth about other things that they have said that we invented along the way that might not have been true.
You know, I looked into the Velcro and Tang, and neither were created by NASA. But Velcro was a Swiss guy in the World War II who was walking his like border collies up an alpine area, and they get burrs in the dog's fur. So he created Velcro to rip off the burrs.
Wow, we have so much to discuss. The book is out. It's called American Moonshot, John F. Kennedy and the Great Space Race. When we come back, I want to focus on sitting down with your sit down with Neil Armstrong, somebody almost nobody has spoken to ever, but yet will live in infamy as one of the greatest Americans, not only for what he did to go to the moon, but as a fire pilot in the war, that Korean War. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. Douglas Brinkley's here. Don't move.
Coming to you on a need-to-know basis, because, man, do you need to know. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645.
First Mortgages, Impact Mortgage Group, DBA Cash Call Mortgage, 19500 Jamboree Road, Irvine, California, 92612, NMLS 128231. Equal housing lender, not licensed in all states, including New York. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions.
Okay, here's the deal. You're a freelancer, a hired hand, a self-made, self-owned business of one. Whether you're a contractor, creative director, or consultant, you're the boss. And that makes things easy. Unless, of course, you're trying to get a mortgage. When it comes to qualifying for a cash-out refi, gig economy workers come with more obstacles, more complexities, and more stress, right? Wrong. Dial 800-785-2857, and one of our cash-out mortgage specialists will help you qualify for the lowest interest loan possible, regardless of your source of income. It's the easiest call you'll make all day. Dial 800-785-2857. That's 800-785-2857. Make the cash call today. That's 800-785-2857.
It takes honor. It takes courage. It takes commitment to serve in our armed forces and sacrifice for our freedom. Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, reminding you how we can honor those sacrifices of our men and women. Come join us for the Northern California Veterans Museum annual dinner, banquet, and auction, Saturday, April 27th at the Veterans Event Center, 3210 West Center Street in Anderson. Enjoy a banquet dinner prepared by BC Stone Age Barbecue, lots of drawings and auction items, including several firearms. All proceeds go straight to the funding of the Northern California Veterans Museum building project. For tickets and information, call 378-2280. That's 378-2280. Keep the date, Saturday, April 27th. We look forward to a great evening with you. Again, call 378-2280.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
Mission Impossible, the TV series, aired on CBS from 1966 to 1973 and returned to ABC from 1980 to 1990 and inspired the popular Tom Cruise movie series. The iconic and dramatic TV theme was composed by Lalo Schifrin and became a minor top 40 radio hit in the late 60s.
Sound memories on Fox News Talk. The talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now. I'm at the foot of the ladder. I'm going to step off the land now. It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And with that, the words of Neil Armstrong as he landed on the moon, 1969. It's all a part of American Moonshot. I know you know how it ends, but you don't know how it started. That's what Moonshot does. It goes back to the creation of the rocket and the theories behind it. Douglas Brinkley put it all together. His book's out this week. Doug, you sat down with Neil Armstrong. There's so much to talk about in this, but tell me what's that like.
Well, the line you just played, his famous line on the moon, he wrote that himself. But he sat down at a little kitchen table with his brother, and that's who he test marketed the line on. And his brother said, "You can't do any better. You nailed it. That's perfect." And so, you know, there's been a movie out this year called First Man about Neil Armstrong. He was the only difficulty I had talking to him. He really is an engineer and was like a military mind. This was a mission. It was a battle of the Cold War. The president of the United States said we're going to go to the moon, and it was a soldier mentality. So I'm a history teacher, so I try to be the humanities guy with him a little. And I said, "Mr. Armstrong, don't you ever just look up at the moon and think, my God, I stood there and I looked down at Earth." He goes, "No." That was all I got out of him. He doesn't like to romanticize at all. He just thought that it was a mission. If he had been told to fly, a spy plane over China, he would have done it. That this was his job to train. He was deeply focused. He does believe a lot that engineers aren't celebrated in American history. I can't say the word engineer more times and make Neil Armstrong happy, because he thinks that those are the real heroes of America that built the dams, the roads, or buildings, or the greatness of American engineering. But beyond that, he did read. He was a great reader. But in his later years, he lived outside of Cincinnati. He could go to a Kroger grocery store and nobody even would know it's Neil Armstrong.
And he wanted it that way.
Yes, because he loved Charles Lindbergh. And what happened to Lindbergh, the kidnapping of Lindbergh's baby. And he knew the fame of being the first person on the moon, that the tabloid media would pick him apart. He really did not like news culture. He liked history. He would talk to scholars. He was not a hermit, as some people say. He sat on corporate boards here and there. But he believed that that he was part of a team. And that for everybody to make him the celebrity, when he couldn't have gone on the moon without all these amazing computer specialists and rocketeers.
4% of our GDP went to this cause. Now the president, all these presidents say, we want to go back. Then they want to go to Mars. Do you think we could ever, 20 seconds, do you think we could ever rally the support to do something like this again?
I think we could go back to the moon. Mike Pence gave a good speech last week in Huntsville about it. In the next 4 or 5 years, we have the technology, and it would become a base camp for eventually getting to Mars.
Listen, it's a great story. You know how it ends, but you don't know how it started. American Moonshot does. Doug, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793 That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The State of Israel came into existence in 1948. Although the United States was the first country to recognize Israel, they were under attack almost immediately. UN Representative Abba Iman speaks on Israel's nationhood.
It would seem to me that after 3,000 years, the time has arrived to accept Israel's nationhood as a fact. For here is the only state in the international community which has the same territory, speaks the same language, and upholds the same faith as it did 3,000 years ago. How grotesque would be an international community which found room for 127 sovereign units and which did not acknowledge the sovereignty of that people which had given nationhood its deepest significance and its most enduring grace.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. During a televised hearing, Congressman Mike Quigley asked two justices of the Supreme Court, why not allow video of the court's deliberations? After all, Quigley said,
we flub up a lot here, but we're on C-SPAN. And so our mistakes are live.
The issue of cameras in the Supreme Court has come up before and has been rejected. No different this time. Justice Samuel Alito said he worries about grandstanding lawyers.
I think lawyers would find it irresistible to try to put in a little soundbite in the hope of being that evening on CNN or Fox.
And Justice Elena Kagan, who often takes the opposite view of Justice Alito, agrees with him on this issue.
Hearings change when cameras are there.
She says the court works well and it's risky to mess with it by adding cameras.
If the seeing it came at the expense of the way the institution functioned, that would be a very bad bargain.
With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
Interested in it? Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
A swing and a miss. Rick Camp strikes out. And this ball game is over. And you will see on your screen the tired jubilation of the fans who've enjoyed it. They're happy they were here. And in a couple of days after we rest, Mr. Kiner, I'll be happy we were here. The final score, 16-13. The line score, 16-28-2 for the Mets, 13-18-3 for the Braves.
And Ron Darling strikes out Rick Camp in the bottom of the 19th inning, July 4th, 1985. Final score 16-13, as Tim McCarver just said. Yeah. In studio, Ron Darling, he just wrote another book, 108 Stitches. It is excellent. Loose threads, ripping yarns, and the darndest characters from his days in baseball. So, Ron, first of all, what was your recollection of that?
I'll never forget it because in his previous at-bat, the Mets were winning by three, and Rick Camp, a pitcher who had never hit a home run prior to that, hit a three-run home run off Tom Gorman to tie the game to send it to more innings. And for him to come up and be the last batter of that evening was somewhat apropos, and luckily I snuck one by him there to end the game.
And by the way, that was a year in which you fell to the Cardinals, where every game mattered too, right?
Every game mattered, and it was also the game started at 6 o'clock. Dwight Gooden started pitching, and I remember that night the last pitch was around 4 a.m. We got back to the hotel at 5 o'clock in the morning, so it was just surreal.
So, I mean, you pretty much tell true stories. I mean, now I believe as great a pitcher as you were, I think more people have gotten a chance to really know you as a broadcaster. You seem to really love the game, and the fact that you thought the game has helped you become a broadcaster, right?
I totally agree. I learned the game from my father and from my mother. Mother was a great athlete, and they had a passion for the game. The only problem, Brian, is that at the end of your career, you stink. So you need this mourning period after you're done playing where you don't want to be around the game. You don't want to see the World Series. You want to see a postseason game. And then when you're given a chance, as I was, to be around the game again, whether it's a coach or a manager or front office, and for me it was broadcasting, you realize, wait a minute, I really love this game. I've loved it my entire life. And since being in the booth, I feel the same passion for it as the first day I did it.
Right. Also, don't you think pitchers and catchers think the game usually better than most?
Well, there's more in the line, right? I think, you know, for hitters, it's four bats a game, so you don't make a hit, don't get a hit in your first at-bat. You have three other chances. I think that there's the companionship, the you know, the relationship between pitcher and catcher is just so important. And there's times that you're working with a catcher where you don't, you know, he knows what you want to throw, you know what you want to throw, and he calls it before you even think about it. It's a real cool feeling.
And as a soccer player who grew up watching baseball, Tim McCarver started teaching me a part of baseball I didn't know existed.
He's the GOAT. Tim McCarver is the best baseball announcer that there ever was, that there ever will be. He had a great grasp of the language. I think that Southern drawl really works in baseball.
Right.
And being a former catcher over four decades didn't hurt.
Right. And Steve Carlton kept him in the game a few years. So, Ron, you also mentioned for you an injury helped you become a better pitcher.
Yeah.
Well, in this book.
Yeah. I think, you know, over the course of a career, there's going to be injuries that happen, and you just have to work your way through them. And I think for me, it's just I had always been a real hard thrower. Hurt my elbow for the first time, and after that, I really had to become a pitcher or learn the art and science of pitching, as opposed to just being a flat out thrower. You know, caveman baseball, get it, throw it hard.
Kind of like what they say CC Sabathia has learned to do.
That's right.
I want you to hear. You talk about Dwight Gooden in your book in the 1985 season by being the best season of any pitcher that you ever seen. Here's Dwight in 1984. All-Star Game, cut number two.
Dwight Gooden takes over on the mound. So he becomes the youngest man ever to play in the All-Star Game, 19, 2 years out of high school. One of the brilliant young Met pitchers leads the majors in strikeouts at the All-Star break. 2-2 pitch to Parrish. Got him swinging. And he strikes him out. Two balls, two strikes on Al Davis of Seattle. And Gooden strikes out the shot. Dwight Gooden. 2 years out of high school.
Were they not doing interleague at that time?
No,
and this
interleague.
Was the first time they got a chance to see this phenom. And what was that like?
It was surreal because, you know, I was a young pitcher at the time. But to have someone 19, I mean, when I was 19, I was trying to make my bed in college, you know. And here's a guy striking out people. And I think that in sports, for some reason, or makes sense the reason, we love teenagers who have the ability to get out or get hits off grown men. And he was just a remarkable talent and a virtuoso. And the 2 years, 84 and 85, that I watched him, I don't know how you have a better year.
Wow. So you do say a lot of things. A couple of things about baseball today. How do you feel about a pitch clock?
I'm not against the pitch clock. I think, you know, it's a little, it's another thing that you have to look at with all the advertisements on the board. But anything that gets people in the box on the mound pitching or hitting, I think is good.
What about relief pitchers having to face a minimum of three batters?
Don't really like that. Not because I don't want to see less relievers in a game. I do. I do the games on TV. I want less relievers. But there is a time in a game or before the game when a manager goes out in the outfield while the team is having batting practice and says, hey, Brian, can you give me one hitter today? And you say, yeah, I can give you one hitter. That's a guy that you won't be able to use that night because of that rule.
And what about bringing it to the 21st century with electronic scoring of balls and strikes?
I think that's definitely going to happen. I think we're really close to that. I know the Atlantic League, I believe, is going to have that in the second half of the season this year.
Is that where the
Atlanta Ducks are? Yes, and they're going to enforce that. And I think that's a good way to do it. I mean, enforce it in the minor leagues, see if it works. The only one I'm really against is the adding 2 feet to the mound. That, to me, is not my favorite. I think it would lead to some injuries. And also, 2 feet is a long ways to move the mound back.
Well, because you guys are throwing so hard, I guess it would allow more hits?
It would hopefully allow more hits, but also I think you're putting pitchers in harm's way. I think you also would end up with a league with a lot of curveballs and changeups.
Right.
You know?
I know the league, one thing is they're looking at now when they see Mike Trout get $400 million and Bryce Harper get just about that, they think everyone's getting rich. It turns out players' salaries are going down.
That's right.
So there's a lot of talent that still doesn't have a team. Did you ever think you'd see that?
Well, you know, I'm thinking of two guys, Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel, two stars of the game that don't have a job yet. I don't know how to change that. That's going to be something that the owners and the players are going to have to figure out. But right now, if you're a young player, you have many, many opportunities. If you're an older player and you have a lot of different things to offer your team, right, you're not in that special position.
As a baseball fan, the best thing about it being a baseball fan is watching a player drafted, hearing about him in AA, AAA, watching their debut maybe in September, and looking at him the next year. I think analytics has allowed that, and I think owners are tired of paying for the Jesse Barfields and the big-time free agents maybe overpaying. So it brings me so that's one thing I like. And that's what the Yankees are doing, the Mets are starting to do.
I think every team is trying to do it.
Grow their own talent.
Not only grow their own talent, but be able to analytically look at players and say, that's my kind of player. I'm going to go get him.
In your book, and it's really excellent, it's even though you know so much about the game, you bring anecdotes to the players we know, stuff you experienced, 108 stitches. You talk about something you regret.
Mm.
You said you made an off-color joke about Mookie Wilson,
yes,
a black center fielder, about his looks. And you said you apologized to him. He came down. He confronted you about it. And you apologize to him almost every time you see him.
You know, I try to show some of the great things that have happened in my career, but also some of the warts that have happened and that I regret. And it was one of those flippant things that you say to someone that you get to a place where you're just meaner than you think you have inside. And I just said it and thought it was going to be funny. And the best part about it, about being embarrassed of that time, is that Mookie Wilson, who's the classiest guy in the world, just came back and said to me, I expect more from you. And when he said that, he brought me to my knees and brought me to a place I had never been before, never been that embarrassed of anything. And I spent the night in jail. I've been more embarrassed when Mookie came up and said he expected more from me, and I tried to remember that since that day.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're a Yale graduate, and people always think of that, too.
Yeah.
But you're also in a locker room environment where all hell breaks loose. People say that if you hang out with the guys in the locker room, I even noticed as a Division II soccer player,
yeah,
the most inappropriate things are said, but it's kept in that room, and you know it's not personal.
Yeah.
So sometimes now we're in trouble with that, too.
Yeah, there's a fraternity involved in professional sports that I think at times, no matter who you are, that lowest common denominator becomes who you can become at times, and I certainly was in that Mookie incident.
Right. Here is a player that was clutch often with you guys and with the Phillies, Lenny Dykstra, cut 11.
The oil can, 16-10. He was 9-6 here at Fenway Park during the year. And as you probably know, if you follow the game at all, extremely high strung. In fact, they tell us that John McNamara even has a signal from the bench telling the can to cool it. One ball, one strike. High drive down the right field line, hooking in the corner. If it's fair, it's gone. It's gone. Lenny Dykstra takes oil can deep, and the Mets lead.
What did that do?
Well,
Boston Mets, 1986.
That was the biggest home run in that series by far. The Mets were down 0-2, lost both games at home. Lenny led off that third game with that home run, by far the biggest home run maybe in the history of the Mets.
And it turns out in your book, you are brutal to him. You said some of the things he said, the racial way in which he acted, that you're almost mad at yourself for not saying anything then. Right?
Yes, of course. You're complicit when you don't mention things that people say before. But I think that's what we get back to in that fraternization. I also wrote this book when you realize all the things that are happening in the NFL and how people are standing up or not standing up. And whatever your take is on that. I think that, you know, that team was famous for saying inappropriate things at inappropriate times. I call out Lenny in my book for an inappropriate comment I heard. before this game, and I think that you know, a visceral reaction that Lenny has had. I don't know where that comes from. Maybe it comes from he's a changed person, doesn't think like that anymore. But it is something that I did hear, mm-hmm. And it's not something that's popped in my head. It's not something that I've said, you know, boy, this is going to sell a book. This is something that's been ruminating in my noodle for 37 years. I have had many opportunities to talk about that team and other incidents, put it in this book, and it's resulted in a real rift, of course, between Lenny and I. He denies it.
In fact, this is what he said yesterday to Michael Kay, Cut 12.
As far as what he said, that's as low as you go, and they're flat out lies. That's the problem. No one really got along with him. He was, you know, he went to Yale. He was better than. But the only thing, you know, Darling did was like lose in every big game we had. And it's flat out lies. Okay,
Lenny, if you ran into Ronnie right now, what'd you say? What would you say to him?
I wouldn't say anything to him. I'd drop him like a redheaded.
Okay. Well, you said he'd pay. What do you plan on doing about this, Lenny?
I'm suing Darling. I'm going to sue him.
Oh, okay.
How am I not going to sue him? I can't sue this guy and the publisher.
What's your reaction?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see the show, but I heard about it. And I certainly don't want to be dropped at 57 years old. I don't think I can take a punch anymore. As far as the threats by Lenny, I stand by what I said. He stands by what he said. And we'll have to see where it goes, Brian.
Well, there's so much more to the book, but I do want to bring that up because, you know, it wasn't someone who said it about you. You put it in there.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I've got to live by what I've put in the book. And certainly he believes he did not. And that's where the rift is and will remain, I'm sure.
One of America's finest color broadcasters, now a successful author as well as a great pitcher. I know I watched, despite what Lenny Dykstra just said, 108 Stitches is the name of the book. Go grab it. Loose Threads, Ripping Yarns, and The Darndest Characters from My Days in Baseball. Ron Darling, stick around. Back in a moment.
It's Brian Kilmeade. Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645.
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Unplanned, the most important movie you'll see on the most controversial topic of our time. Now playing. Visit unplanned.com for tickets. Rated R.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
On April 13th and 14th, Project Healing Waters will be holding its fifth annual Sundial Challenge. Project Healing Waters Fly Fishing is dedicated to the physical and emotional rehabilitation of disabled active military personnel and disabled veterans through fly fishing and associated activities. There are several sponsorship packages available for those wishing to support our disabled vet. If you can help or have questions, please contact John Boyden at 530-722-0798.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Radio that makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Out of nowhere, I feel Joe Biden put his hands on my shoulders, get up very close to me from behind, lean in, smell my hair, and then plant a slow kiss on the top of my head.
Okay. I really like Joe Biden. Everybody knows that. But I can see why someone might find that inappropriate. Generally, the only people who come up from behind, put their arms around you, smell your hair, and kiss your head are dead husbands teaching you pottery.
And it, I mean, some of this, that is very funny. And some of this stuff is really hard to, I mean, I don't know how, if we were on the air with Monica Lewinsky and that stuff, I mean.
Oh, no, you can't make jokes about the Monica stuff. But, I mean, there were so many amazing jokes about Biden. I didn't even pull them all. I mean, that was good. I mean, your thought, you're like, meh, on Colbert, but that was funny.
Right. Yeah, I know. Listen, I don't think that he's never not funny. I thought he, the Colbert Report, I thought was great. It was cutting and was, but I just think that I would like to see him without Donald Trump in a monologue and have success. I don't think both will be there. I do think this. I think it's time to find out more.
More to know.
Here we go. President Trump has already picked a Supreme Court justice to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And guess who it's going to be? Not a surprise. Amy Coney Barrett. Evidently, that has been leaked out. Now, listen, she's 85, and evidently she's doing fine. And we're in the final year now of his presidency when it becomes 2020. I wonder if Mitch McConnell is going to get, actually, he'd make that decision in the Senate.
He could, but, I mean, was it leaked out on purpose? Or, I mean, to try to, you know, really get people excited for 2020? A reminder, this is why you need to get Trump in for a second.
You could argue that if Scalia doesn't die and that seat isn't open and McConnell doesn't keep it open, that maybe the president doesn't win.
I agree with that because the Supreme Court is a very big issue when it comes to voting for president.
All right. I don't think this is funny, but I'll share it with you. We move. I'll switch later. Former FBI Director James Comey turned heads on Twitter in a new way Monday. He announced a White House run on April Fool's Day. He tweeted, this.
He said, "I'm in. We need someone in the middle. #2020. And it was a picture of him in the middle of the road, right?
Right. And then he came on to say, "But could you imagine a president who used the website to make dad jokes rather than hurl insults? You can't go 140 characters without bringing Donald Trump in. He'd be nothing without Trump." Next. AOC is at LaGuardia Airport, one of the last times she'll ever fly because in 10 years the world will end.
I thought
she
it was
noticed. 12. Oh, Croissants at LaGuardia cost $7 a piece, yet some people think getting a whole hour of personal dedicated human labor for $15 is too expensive. I don't see how the two ends meet, but that was her tweet. I'm going to think about it and come back with an answer next time.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to...
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
News this hour from townhall.com, I'm Rhonda Rostra. President Trump says he kept his promise to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in part to please members of the Republican Jewish Coalition and major GOP donors Sheldon and Miriam Adelson.
We got you something that you wanted. I can tell you, Sheldon and Miriam, that is the most important thing I think that's ever happened in their life. They love Israel.
Mr. Trump addressed the coalition's annual meeting in Las Vegas Saturday afternoon. Protesters from the Yellow Vest movement took to the streets of France Saturday for the 21st straight weekend, with hundreds gathering for a march across Paris at numerous locations around the country. Others gathered in Rouen in Normandy, a past flashpoint, and hundreds more in eastern Paris at the Palace de la République, the start of a march to the business district on the capital's western edge, all over policies of President Emmanuel Macron. The Trump administration wants up to 2 years to find all the children separated from their parents at the border.
In court filings, the Justice Department says it needs to review 47,000 cases of unaccompanied children taken into custody at the border between June 2017 and July 2018. The administration would begin by sifting through names for signs of likely separation, for example, children under 5 years old. The administration would then provide this information to the American Civil Liberties Union, which sued to reunite families. The ACLU says there is no reason it should take up to 2 years. I'm Julie Walker.
Disgraced former Congressman Anthony Weiner will have to register as a sex offender when he's released from custody next month. His name will be added to a state database for at least the next two decades, and he faces 3 years of court-ordered supervision. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Today.
Don't miss The Best of Enemies, starring Academy Award nominee Taraji P. Henson.
I play Anne Atwater, a civil rights activist who was able to approach hate with love.
And Academy Award winner Sam Rockwell.
All the better is you don't get my way.
Well, I'm going to get in your way.
If you change one heart, you can change the world.
I have a Bible.
And then you ought to know, same God made you, made me.
The Best of Enemies, based on the untold true story. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing in theaters.
Email phishing attacks cost businesses billions annually in real cash, data loss, and brand damage. Phishing emails are hard to detect because the messages appear to be legitimate to unsuspecting employees. Introducing Barracuda Fish Line, a groundbreaking cloud-based solution designed to help employees recognize sophisticated email phishing attacks through interactive training reinforced by continuous simulation. Transform your employees from a liability into a line of defense. Go to barracuda.com/PL to learn more.
The family of a California woman kidnapped while on a safari in Uganda is hoping the U.S. military will step in to help.
The State Department says it is working to secure the release of Kimberly Endicott of Costa Mesa, California, who was abducted Tuesday along with a local driver at gunpoint from Uganda's Queen Elizabeth National Park. Her cousin, Rich Endicott, says he wants to see Navy SEALs sent in to find and rescue his relative. He says he understands the State Department warning against paying ransom, so instead he wants the government and the military to help. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Hundreds of protesting migrants clashed with police for a third straight day in northern Greece Saturday, with migrants throwing rocks at officers who responded with tear gas and stun grenades. Authorities say the demonstration outside the migrant camp in Diavada had been triggered by false reports on social media. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. There is an effort underway in the U.S. Senate to shore up trade ties with the U.K. as that nation wrestles with its departure from the European Union.
With the U.K. about to part ways with the EU,
there's enormous opportunity before us.
Senator Mike Lee says his resolution would affirm the U.K. as a key trading partner, and that, he says, would
preserve a unique and important alliance.
But not everybody agrees.
Reserving the right to object, Madam President.
Oregon Democrat Ron Wyden says more in-depth trade talks need to happen, but never will.
If the debates play out in a slapdash process.
Wyden accusing the U.K. of planning to impose unfair internet taxes on U.S. companies. Bob Agner reporting.
China's official news agency says U.S.-Chinese trade talks achieve new progress, their words, in Washington this week, and remaining issues will be handled through various effective means. Those terse statements by Xinhua Saturday did not say where or when those discussions will happen. More at townhall.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
From the Fox News radio studios in New York City, fresh off the set of Fox and Friends, it's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
Thanks so much for listening. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show. Moving ahead on this Thursday, at the bottom of the hour, Alberto Gonzalez, the former Attorney General himself, and Ken Starr is waiting in the wings. A lot to discuss as we get closer and closer to the release of the entire Mueller report. After that showboat yesterday with a subpoena in his hand, Jerry Nadler is trying to, show people how tough he is and waste most of America's time. I'll tell you shortly why it was a waste of time. And also, the President of the United States is going down to California tomorrow to see the beginning of his wall, Trump-made wall. And today, his Homeland Security Secretary heads down to Yuma, Arizona, because it is a crisis at our border. Let's begin.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
Social norms have begun to change. They've shifted. And the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset. And I get it. I hear what they're saying. I understand it. And I'll be much more mindful. That's my responsibility.
That's kind of an apology or an address. Yesterday, as Joe Biden addressed people in an undisclosed location somewhere in a basement or underwater, was it good enough? 2020, as a new moderate candidate joins the Democratic competition, more accusers step forward and speak out against unwanted touching from the vice president. They're up to six now. Three more came out yesterday. And by the way, why isn't President Obama or Michelle Obama running to his defense?
Number two.
We're going to work with the Attorney General, and for a short period of time, if that doesn't work out, in a very short order, we will issue the subpoenas. We're not willing to let the Attorney General, who, after all, is a political appointee of the president, make that substitute his judgment for ours.
The Mueller investigators speak out and indicate Attorney General Barr might not have been portraying their findings the way they wanted, as Nadler demands a quick release of the entire report, which is foolhardy, a toothless demand by a Trump-hating party. That's what it amounts to.
Number one.
As a border governor, we see this clearer than nearly anywhere of what's happening from both a humanitarian standpoint and a security standpoint on our border. So it's for Congress to act on this issue.
Oh, there you go. Governor Ducey, the border battle. He's in Arizona. The numbers don't lie. The systems are overwhelmed. Catch and release is back with a fury, and we need Congress to act as the president backs off his border shutdown. And joining us right now is Ken Starr. Ken, yesterday, the surprise of a few, and by the way, Ken Starr has a great book out that really gives an idea of the last time we had a major federal investigation, Contempt, a memoir of the Clinton investigation. Go grab it. Ken, the last time I knew after the summary there was going to be some other headlines coming out about investigators and maybe weren't happy with the summary and it happened. The last time we found out that some investigators, according to their sources, were not happy with Barr's summary. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. It's a bit of sour grapes. It's so unprofessional. And these are anonymous sources, so I don't think they're serving Bob Mueller well. They're certainly not serving the cause and interests of justice well. It does show, Brian, if you step back, how did we get here? Let's just, okay, the FISA warrant and all that, the Fusion GPS. But, you know, we got here because of a decision made. Let's use the criminal justice system and the grand jury to find out whether there was Russia collusion. Very bad idea. That's the problem with criminal investigations about something that the American people are crying to know about. Was there collusion? We now know, of course, we did. Think there was, but we now know that there was no collusion. But now we're in a squabble, right? An intramural battle over, well, let's get behind that conclusion. And I'm in favor of transparency. I think everyone's in favor of transparency. You know, we could have avoided all this if there was a real issue about Russia collusion. And we've all got views about whether there was or there wasn't. The evidence is there was not. Congress should have held hearings, open hearings, bring the witnesses in, let the public come to the public's determination as to whether there was or not.
But really? Instead, you want to see that?
Absolutely. But that's what we did. And strange as it may seem, Brian, that's what the nation did in Watergate. The great breakthrough in Watergate was due to the Senate Select Committee. With bipartisan right? A Democrat, this chair, Howard Baker, a great man from Tennessee, a Republican senator, the ranking minority member, and they were after the truth. Of course, it was partisanship. I'm not denying that. But here's the downside of the current system. We still don't know the specifics, right? And Bill Barr, bless his heart, is doing a great job. He's doing what the law demands. But now he's faced this onslaught that, you know, personal attacks have begun. Well, you're just trying to hide things. Excuse me. No, he's not. He's trying to protect grand jury secrecy, national security information, and so forth.
Ken, I want you to hear, Jerry, your name came up yesterday. Jerry Nadler was, we played back a clip from him, 1998, when he said he does not want all the Starr report out. He thinks he does not want it out. He doesn't think it's right. He doesn't think it's constitutional. And then when people see his comments in 2019, they say, what a hypocrite. Here's his explanation.
President Trump seems to think in 1998 I was opposed to public release of the Starr report and that he has caught me changing my mind on the subject. Let me set the record straight. In 1998, the debate was not about Congress receiving evidence. Congress had already received the full 445-page report and 17 boxes of additional documents, including grand jury material. We are owed that same opportunity today.
Do you see the difference? Does he explain it for you, Ken Starr?
No, wrong, wrong, wrong. And here's why he's wrong. He's right about the fact that we sent the report up and the boxes of information, but we were required to do that under the statute. But what we're overlooking is the fact that Bill Barr is not operating under that statute. Neither was Bob Mueller. And these regulations, Brian, as you know, under which Bob Mueller was appointed and under which Bill Barr is obliged to operate and conduct himself as the Attorney General of the United States, have been in effect for 20 years. Those regulations were crafted in the Clinton Justice Department, where they've been maintained for 20 years, essentially unchanged, because the nation did not want any more Starr reports. So we return to the great traditions of the Justice Department. The regulations specifically call for Bob Mueller to provide, keyword, confidential report to the Attorney General. And that's what Mueller has done. That report is confidential. Well, what is Bill Barr then required to do under the regulations? He is required to notify Congress, which he's done, and to provide an explanation. And he's done that too, right? His communications have fulfilled the regulations. Now, at the same time, we live in a practical world. The real world says we need more transparency than that. So Bill Barr, again, is doing what he should do. He's in a room, and this is kind of non-delegable. He can't just say, okay, somebody go do this for me. He and others are in the room, Bob Mueller himself, or a senior person from Bob Mueller's staff. They are really pouring through this report to do what? To take out grand jury information. Take it out, because that's what they are obligated to do. So I think Chairman Nadler is just conveniently overlooking the fact there's a complete change in the law. And Congress saw fit to jettison the old regime under which I operated, which called for these full reports and send it up to Congress and so forth. We return to the traditions of the Justice Department, which is we don't do that sort of thing. But Bill Barr is a great man and a person of integrity. He's trying to find the right middle ground to serve the public interest of transparency. Right.
So he already did what he had to do.
He has complied with the regulations. They just don't like the regulations. They don't talk about the regulations. They don't talk about the law. They just talk about, we want the full report, just like in the bad old days.
All right. I want you to hear Mark Mazzetti, the New York Times. He's the one who came up with the story, has not revealed his sources, talking about how the Mueller team, feels that maybe Barr didn't get it right. Cut 24.
That's where it's still unclear exactly what the expectation of was with the summaries. Now, we don't report that these summaries were prepared to be put out immediately, in other words, in lieu of the Barr report, that they would have been ready for prime time without any redactions. We have not heard that. And the Justice Department indeed says, yes, there were summaries, but some of them had classified material, grand jury material. They couldn't have put them out right away. So I think the dispute is over exactly how much of those summaries could have been put in, and some within the special counsel's team believed they could have used at least some to flesh out more than Barr did what the special counsel found in its investigation.
So there were summaries within the 400-page report is what they're saying, but he couldn't have left it in there because they needed to be redacted or taken out.
Well, that's right. I mean, this is this intramural squabbling, right? And you get two lawyers in a room, and they're going to come up with three opinions. So this is not newsworthy, but obviously the New York Times is making it newsworthy because now we have the backbiting from the Mueller team, and shame on them. You know, I was accused of leaking, and they launched a criminal investigation into me and my colleagues because of these allegations. Leaking grand jury information, we were exonerated, and I mean exonerated, but this is part of the struggle that we're going through thanks to the whole mechanism of a special counsel investigation. It's just a quagmire that we could have avoided, unfortunately.
Yeah, and Ken, lastly, if you were advising the president right now to prepare, and his legal team, to prepare for the 400 pages, what couple of two or three things would you advise him to be ready for?
Keep your eye on the bottom line. There are obviously going to be some nasty facts in there, probably opinions, right? So you have to keep everyone focused on here is the fundamental conclusion. There was no collusion. Now, on the obstruction side, I think there are going to be a number of sort of nasty facts that really go to the president at this point needs to stand behind the Constitution of the United States and say, I'm proud that I fired James Comey. I'm proud that I was trying to reset arrangements and relationships with Russia. I felt that that was in the national interest. And, yes, of course I had conversations with them. What do you expect the President of the United States to do in trying to get along with one of the most powerful nations on Earth, et cetera? So I would just, the best defense, right, strong offense, just go for it. Stay true to your basic principles that, look, I'm trying to serve the interests of this country, and there are others who just want to play politics.
Gotcha. Ken Starr, congratulations on the success of your book, Contempt, a memoir of the Clinton investigation. You'll see how aggressive the Clintons were in pushing back on you as if Donald Trump invented that method. It was very – they pushed back hard.
Really hard.
Ken, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
We're going to come back and get some of your Facebook comments to our live hit this morning on Facebook Live. And then we have a picture up on Facebook that Allison is so pumped up for. She believes that our dedicated listeners and viewers will immediately, especially if you watch on Fox Nation, will immediately know what's different about what I'm wearing when we come back. So weigh in and we'll respond. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show, unless I'm really mistaken.
Brian Kilmeade, working up a sweat to bring you the latest news and opinions.
It's hard to look good and make sense when people are staring at your sweaty bum.
Try not to stare. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, I'm Mike Ditka. Some days, even Iron Mike feels a little rusty, so I turn to Blue Emu. Blue Emu's non-greasy, deep-penetrating formula gets down deep for big-time comfort, and more importantly, it doesn't leave me smelling bad. Blue Emu works fast and won't stink.
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. Unplanned, now playing. Tickets available at unplanned.com. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hi, I'm Mike Ditcher. Some days, even Iron Mike feels a little rusty, so I turn to Blue Emu. Blue Emu's non-greasy, deep-penetrating formula gets down deep for big-time comfort. And more importantly, doesn't leave me smelling like a locker room. Blue Emu works fast and won't stink.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeoplradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Gore Vidal is best known as an American novelist and known as one of the most prominent liberal public intellectuals of the 20th century. Here is Vidal in the early 60s on the political state of art in the U.S.
You're born into a society and you are shaped by it, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. Each of us is born into a prison of received opinion, of superstition, and of prejudices. Now, one of the functions of art is to try and define the prison. A, the artist must know he's in it, and many of them don't, and those are the bad artists. They just take it for granted. This is the way things are. They don't know that there are worlds, as Shakespeare said, there is a world elsewhere. They don't see anything past these bars. The prison is going to break you eventually, but you can at least get a look out. And it's the lookout that is art.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
If you're
interested in it?
Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Even by Barr's summary, it was a close question about whether the president committed an illegal act. That means, by definition, there is bad information in there. So the idea that, you know, this is 400 pages of hearts and flowers to Donald Trump is just inconceivable. There obviously is incriminating information in there. How much, how people view it, that, of course, remains to be seen.
I think it's a very measured response. That was the most non-political answer I've heard Jeffrey Toobin, a legal expert, give in quite some time on CNN. Of course there's going to be bad information. Of course there's going to be something for Rachel Maddow to talk about. But basically there was no master plan of two leaders coming together for one country, Russia. Meanwhile, I asked the question before I went to break, didn't I, Allison, about what was different about me today and what I was wearing.
Correct. So we asked that we posted on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll give you the answer later this hour. However, but...
Who has it right so far?
So far, one person has it right.
And what do we give them?
We're sending them a book.
Andrew Jackson, The Miracle of New Orleans?
I actually gave her the option. She can have any of your books.
Wow. Okay. Yes. But the one out on paperback right now has brand new material. That's the most recent. And we have a big announcement about what's going to be coming out shortly, too, with a reveal of the cover coming up in a week.
But one thing that someone said that's not the answer. Marcy said this on Instagram. She said, I said, the question was sort of what is it about you in this picture that has your radio producers, you know, Pete, Eric, and myself, both shocked and pleasantly surprised. And Marcy says, it's because you're wearing Todd Pyro's shirt.
Wow.
We thought that was a good
one. Yeah, I hear you laughing, Eric.
That's Pete.
Richard, you're listening online in Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Hi, good morning, Brian.
Hey, what's on your mind?
With the discord in between the parties at this point, what would be the harm of President Trump addressing the nation and playing the clips of Pelosi, Schumer, President Obama, and the rest of them begging for the wall, voting for the wall, appropriating money for the wall, and then run clips of what they're saying now, and then look at the camera and say,
I wouldn't do a wall conversation. I would do it on the Flores Amendment. I would do it on changing sanctuary laws. I would not do it on the wall. The wall is on its own track. Thanks, Richard. I understand your frustration. Richard also is listening in Canada, Montreal, Canada. Richard.
Yes. Hi, Brian. What do you think about Lindsey Graham calling in Mueller to testify and asking Mueller why he didn't investigate Fusion GPS meeting with the Russian lawyer right before and right after the Trump Tower meeting? Isn't that a little bit suspicious?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of suspicious things. Lindsey Graham's going to pursue that on his own, but I both think Lindsey Graham and ranking member Jim Jordan on Judiciary both want to see Robert Mueller out there. And I think that shows great courage and confidence that nothing else went wrong. And one of my first questions to Mueller is, did you ever think about hiring people in terms of investigators and lawyers that didn't hate the president, that didn't have aren't declared Democrats? That would have helped. Meanwhile, I'm going to start doing this thing called This Day in History on Big Days in History. Listen to what happened in This Day in History. 1818, conquerors adopted a flag with one star per each state. Good idea. Today, 1949, the treaty forming NATO, pretty big deal. Martin Luther King Jr. assassinated in Memphis, pretty big deal. World Trade Center officially opened. This all happened today in 1973. 74, Hank Aaron tied Babe Ruth's home run record, 714. And 1983, Sally Ride, first woman in space. That happened today. And can you believe what a historic day this is?
That's incredible.
As well as what I decided to do with my wardrobe.
Will that be
on next year?
Who knows? Maybe someone else speculated that you got a spray tan.
Right. Good. Is that what someone said?
Yeah.
He's called me in half Italian. 1-866-408-7669.
To make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and
attending more four-year universities, and with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from? Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta. Uncle Bob, where did I come from? You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Reverend Jesse Jackson made a run for the presidency in 1984. In a speech, he apologized for remarks made referring to New York as, quote, Hymie Town.
If in my high moments I have done some good, shed some light, healed some wounds, if in my low moments, in word, deed, or attitude, through some error of temper, taste, or tone, I've caused anyone discomfort, created pain that was not my truest self. If there were occasions when my grape turned into a raisin and my jaw bell lost its resonance, please forgive me. Charge it to my head and not to my heart.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. It's a case that potentially could open a new front in the legal battles over abortion. It's a ruling by a probate court judge in Madison County, Alabama. Judge Frank Barger ruled that an aborted fetus is a person and can be named as a co-plaintiff in a wrongful death suit. The suit was brought by Ryan Majors. He claims in 2017 his girlfriend at the time got pregnant and had an abortion. She was 16. Her father says Majors pressured her to have sex. Majors says he pleaded with her to have the baby. And now he's suing the clinic where the abortion happened and the company that made the pill she took. He named the aborted fetus, identified legally as Baby Roe, as a co-plaintiff. The judge agreed. Major says he hopes that opens a legal door.
Not only me, but other fathers, other future fathers, can actually pursue it as well.
Abortion rights activists call this a dangerous precedent in the growing movement toward fetal rights. They promise to keep fighting. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
We are giving the Republicans the opportunity to debate and to vote on subpoenas, which is different from which they didn't give us. We're going to work with the Attorney General, and for a short period of time, if that doesn't work out, in a very short order, we will issue the subpoenas. We're not willing to let the Attorney General, who after all is a political appointee of the President, make that substitute his judgment for ours.
Oh, that is that is Congressman Nadler talking about why he has a subpoena in his hand. He's not afraid to use it because he doesn't want to wait 2 weeks for the Barr report to Attorney General Barr to fully release the 400 pages of the Mueller report, which if there's one redaction, there'll be protests and unacceptability chants and cries from many Democrats. Joining us now, an attorney general himself, Alberto Gonzalez, under President George W. Bush. He's currently dean at Belmont University College of Law and author of True Faith and Allegiance. Mr. Attorney General, is that the way you should view the attorney general as a presidential appointee?
Well, I hope not, because the truth of the matter is that one of the reasons I hope that a senator votes for someone as attorney general is trust in their integrity and their good judgment. And so, you know, listen, I understand what's going on here. Yeah, the attorney general should be given the opportunity to do his job. And I think Bill Barr is going to do that. And then there'll be a discussion. I'm sure it'll be not satisfactory to the Democrats. And hopefully they can work out some accommodation or compromise. You know, I think threats of the subpoenas are fine, but knowing Bill Barr as I do, I think what he's going to do what he believes is right, what's consistent with the law, what's consistent with traditional DOJ policies and practices, and then he'll deal with the subpoena. I mean, I don't think he's going to compromise or cave on DOJ practices or policies voluntarily, but if it happens because of some kind of court order, I think that's something that he's willing to accept. So for me, you know, I understand there's a lot of angst about this report, and it's very important, and I'm curious about what's in that report. But let's give the Attorney General an opportunity to do his job. In fact, that's why he was hired by the President to do a job. He was confirmed by the Senate to do a job, and we need to give him an opportunity to do that.
From what you know of him, if you do know him, or his actions, do you think he would put together a summary that inaccurately portrayed Robert Mueller's wishes, especially because they have a personal friendship that goes back 30 years, or should that not even matter?
No, you know, I think Bill anticipated that there would be a great deal of interest in the major questions. Was there Russia meddling, which there was? Was there collusion? He concluded not. Was there obstruction? He concluded not. These are sort of the main issues that people were most curious about. Obviously, in a 400-page report, there's all kinds of other kinds of information. And, of course, it's not surprising that there would be derogatory information about the president, perhaps, and others. That's not surprising at all. What he tried to do very quickly is to satisfy the appetite of the American public, of the media, in terms of what are the basic answers, the basic conclusions. And, you know, I think he was kind of in a difficult position because I think he really wanted to do that, also understanding that there would be an appetite for more information about the report. And he's in the process now of trying to answer or trying to feed that appetite for more information now.
So what is your take on the headline of the New York Times today that said that some investigators on the Mueller team thinks that the attorney general was not accurately this is the exact headline. Some on Mueller's team say report was more damaging than Barr revealed. And they go on to talk about unnamed sources talking about unnamed investigators.
A couple things. You know, one, it's not surprising that there are going to be some people that disagree with some of the findings, some of the conclusions of an investigation with this breadth and with this complexity. You're just going to have disagreements amongst investigators and prosecutors. At the end of the day, someone is at the top who is charged to make the final call, and that person is Bob Mueller. And when he's unable or unwilling to make that call, then that person is Bill Barr. So the notion that some people may not have agreed completely is not surprising. And with respect to the criticism that Bill Barr has inadequately portrayed what is in the report. Again, I think he was in a difficult position wanting to get something out. I think before we make that accusation about Bill Barr,
right,
let's wait to see what kind of redactions are in the final report when he ultimately releases that final report.
And I understand there were summaries throughout the report, and some were surprised. Hey, wait a second. Why don't you just release our summaries? Well, it turns out they couldn't because some of them need to be redacted. Confidentiality need to be taken into place, and some of them had things that had to be redacted, and they weren't, so he went and did it himself. Mark Mazzetti worked on this story for the New York Times, one of the reporters. Here's what he said could be the discrepancy in the conclusions that Barr had as opposed to what they had. Cut 25.
On the obstruction issue, as we know, the letter sort of said that Mueller, you know, refused to come to a conclusion, lays out evidence in column A, evidence in column B, and it was therefore Barr to make a judgment, or Barr says it was therefore up to him to make a judgment. So I think the expectation, our expectation is that maybe more of the battle here is on the obstruction issue.
Is that a solid hypothesis?
Who knows, Brian? I mean, really, who knows? First of all, I wouldn't rely upon what the New York Times has said. Someone said to him that probably wasn't even part of the team, but actually got it from someone on the team, an unknown person on the team. So I don't know. I don't know the accuracy of what's in this story or the reliability of the source. So I don't know whether or not,
right,
you know, most of the disagreement centered on whether on obstruction or whether it's centered on collusion. We just don't know. That's the thing. We just don't really know right now.
Attorney General Gonzalez, our guest. Attorney General, I was almost laughing out loud trying to do the show yesterday as Chairman Nadler said, I have a subpoena to Barr in order for him to release the Mueller report. I'm thinking to myself, did he not tell you it's coming out in the middle of April, roughly? Did he not tell you he's going to come to Congress and talk about it, House and Senate? Did he not give you a date? Was that pure theater yesterday?
I'm not going to speak to the motivation of the chairman. What I can say is I think, you know, this is, as I said, a very complicated investigation, a very lengthy one. And I think Bill Barr is moving as quickly as he possibly can in a responsible manner to make sure that whatever he says is completely accurate and is going to be backed up, because ultimately these kinds of things, you know, find their way, you know, most of the facts and underlying truths come out eventually. And so I think he wants to get it right. And, you know, I think he should be commended for taking the time necessary to get it right. It may not comport with the schedule of Chairman Nadler. And if he wants to issue the subpoena, then issue the subpoena. I mean, I don't think that's going to force Bill Barr to release any kind of information that he's not totally comfortable with.
Gotcha. Now, the President of the United States got hit personally when the Chairman of Ways and Means said, I need 6 years of your taxes. I don't know how that make the country safer, but now we're back to this debate. Does the President have a legal leg to stand on when he says no?
You know, I think that I think that Congress's position is strongest when they say, we are investigating how the IRS deals with presidents generally on the payment of their taxes and the treatment of their tax returns. I think the Democrats would have been on much stronger grounds asking not just for President Trump's tax returns, but the tax returns of previous presidents, other presidents, because I think looking to see how the IRS performs its work vis-a-vis presidents generally, I think that's a very legitimate oversight role. But focusing solely on President Trump, to me, does give ammunition to those who say you're weaponizing the IRS. And I think it's a dangerous place to be. I think the statute's pretty clear that the Ways and Means Chairman can ask for the tax returns of an individual, although as I read the statute, as I recall the statute, you can only do so when it doesn't identify the taxpayer. So I know the Congress has worked hard to get this right, but I think the Democrats, I think if they really wanted to be on more solid grounds, they'd be better off saying, you know, we want to know how the IRS deals with presidents generally, and so we'd like the tax returns of various presidents. Now, my former boss may not like that, but the truth of the matter is I think that just puts the Congress in a much stronger position against accusations that they're just simply going after Trump.
Right, but we know they're simply going after Trump. Come on. Well, you know that's all they care about. You think they're just concerned about how the IRS functions?
But let's face it. which of the presidents did not release their tax returns?
I mean,
that's
what?
Going to be the response from the Democrats.
I wish he did. Well, I don't understand why he didn't.
I do too. I agree with you, Brian. I agree. I think he should have. He said he was going to.
It would have been over by now.
It would have been over by now.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, and lastly, Mr. Attorney General, you see the crisis at the border. I think you agree it's a problem. Humanitarian, drugs, as well as some unsavory characters, just if you go by the percentages. Is there anything unilaterally the president can do when it comes to this Flores Amendment or something that when a company that would stop the magnet that's bringing unaccompanied minors and families through the border and out of their triangle countries?
You know, I don't know if there's anything the president can do alone that would be effective, certainly not for any period of time, Brian. You know, immigration policy is really the responsibility primarily of the Congress, and we need a long-term solution to deal with it. We need a comprehensive solution, in my judgment, that obviously includes a very robust border security piece, but also deals with things like, you know, refugees and our visa process and people, and what do we do about the people that are here unlawfully already. So to me, it's a big disappointment that I think we're probably worse off today than we were when President Bush was in office in terms of the whole immigration debate, and that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate, but for people on the border right now in a state that you love, Texas, it is just a crisis. And I'm listening to our reporters there and talking to Border Patrol regularly, and they're exasperated and exhausted and outmanned and outgunned. So I just feel like Congress is tone deaf on this, as usual. Mr. Attorney General, it's going to be exciting few days. Hopefully catch up to you again.
Anytime, Brian.
Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, 1-866-408-7669. We're going to come back, get your Facebook responses, as well as look at some of your responses over the past week, and then take some phone calls. Don't move. You're listening to The Brian Kilmeade Show.
You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text PERFORM to 79645. That's PERFORM to 79645.
First Mortgages, Impact Mortgage Group, DBA Cash Call Mortgage, 19500 Jamboree Road, Irvine, California, 92612, NMLS 128231. Equal housing lender not licensed in all states, including New York. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions.
Okay, here's the deal. You're a freelancer, a hired hand, a self-made, self-owned business of one. Whether you're a contractor, creative director, or consultant, you're the boss. And that makes things easy. Unless, of course, you're trying to get a mortgage. When it comes to qualifying for a cash-out refi, gig economy workers come with more obstacles, more complexities, and more stress, right? Wrong. Dial 800-785-2857. And one of our cash-out mortgage specialists will help you qualify for the lowest interest loan possible, regardless of your source of income. It's the easiest call you'll make all day. Dial 800-785-2857. That's 800-785-2857. Make the cash call today. That's 800-785-2857.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Call me up, Neil Maui, and get
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Breaking news, unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Dominic, listening online in Atlanta. Dominic.
Good morning, Kilmeade. I was calling because maybe somebody will buy you a pack of T-shirts for Christmas, because it's kind of weird that you do not wear them, my friend.
I know. I'm not wearing them now either. I'm bold.
Even with suits?
No, never. You get too hot. Are you kidding?
You don't sweat?
No, not really. I mean, I do with T-shirts. I don't want to be layered, you know, indoors.
Okay.
And now we have an answer to the question that really, Allison, I've never seen you so happy.
It's fantastic. And I will tell you this, actually, on Twitter, where I didn't post a picture, Combat Swag is listening. He nailed it right away. He goes, it's the undershirt, isn't
right.
it? It feels
and it's
good.
Not only that, it's your guys' undershirts.
We
you guys got me.
As a joke.
Yeah. And they made the lineup, so they're in my T-shirt stack, you know, as T-shirts that are eligible to be worn under. And I realize I have to go to a Fox Nation shoot right from here. I got to go to Philadelphia. So I had to dress casual from home at 2:30 in the morning. So I go, okay, this shirt can go both ways, casual and dress up. And then I thought, you know, when I unbutton it, do I really want to see, you know, should I have some depth to this look?
You wanted to layer up for your Fox Nation shoot later
yes.
today.
Yes, and I'm going to be outdoors a little bit. So I thought, this might do it. And then I hear, you know, is it going to be nice out? Because I'm indoors when I get dressed. I don't dress outdoors.
It's also 2 in the morning?
Yes. So this is how I ended up. And I changed to jeans at the top of the hour. I had to go all the way down to up to the 17th floor and change the jeans.
You did, so you've done a full costume change. But I will say, I don't know if, I guess we would have noticed it, but it's the first thing you said this morning when you came in the studio. Like, look what I'm wearing. I'm wearing your shirt, you know, that the team got you for Christmas.
Right. By the way, I have not even, usually you guys get me a lot of stuff, but this year on Christmas, you brought me so much stuff. Between the power bars, the Fig Newtons, the oatmeal that you – you got me an oatmeal kit.
You were very disappointed in that because you had to add your own extra stuff.
But it's, in a way, it's good because I decide how much nuts go with the oats that go with the sugar.
Exactly.
Right? So I'm in control.
You're in control of your nuts.
Exactly. I'm in control of my nuts and my sugar. So I can't even get through it. In fact, we have to do a – we have to do a move out of the 17th floor. I had to go to the 21st floor. And the thing that's going to be hard to move is all my oatmeal, all my power bars, and everything.
But when are you moving? Like, do you have time to eat them?
Well, what I did is I did something really dumb. So this is I did something really dumb. This is spring cleaning week because obviously we're hungry for ratings on Fox and Friends. It's been fascinating. And they said, Brian, we have an idea. They don't know because they're on the second floor. They go, we hear your office is not neat. And I go, true. And they said, would you like them to clean your office? I said, no. And they said, well, aren't you moving? And then finally I gave in. So they said, would you take a little video to see if the company actually can do it, if it's as bad as everybody says? Because a lot of it is not bad. It's just clutter because I have too much stuff.
So are they going to do it?
They're coming Monday to look at a strategy, And they're going to know they're not going to be able to get any neater. I'm convinced. Because there's a reason why everything's there.
Well, you have a very small office, to be fair, and a lot of stuff. But are they going to reorganize your office and then you're going to be moving in a few weeks? So won't it be a...
No, no. I'm going to be having them organize it to move.
Okay.
Because okay. I'm moving to another office, and I've been in this office for 20 years.
Wow. So to be honest, it's not bad considering there are places to sit in your office.
Really? You're being very nice. Because look at Hammer's office. Look how neat that is. I mean, I look almost, look how I go to Neil Cavuto's office. You can eat off the floor, and
he has
might.
A massive corner office, right?
That's true.
He's a big
Neil.
Deal.
Yeah, he's a big deal.
Yes.
All right, that's what we got. Let's find out if there's more to know.
More to know.
All right, let's begin with this, me getting to the right page. I already told you about what happened on this day in history. Now we have some big-name celebs are trying to bail out the Clintons. Get this. We know the Clintons have a speaking tour. Nobody is buying tickets. They canceled half their events. Now they're coming back. So what are they going to do? No one's buying tickets again. Now they have Tony Goldwyn. So I think I know who he is. He's going to be joining. Paul Begala is going to be joining. Wow. Pinch me. Ben Stiller, a big name. He'll get a crowd.
Actually, go ahead. Finish.
Star Jones. That's not a big name.
No.
I guess they're going to be kind of moderating it. And Jordan Klepper. Do you know who that is, Pete?
I never heard of him.
Yeah.
I know who Tony Goldwyn is, though.
I'm telling you right now, nobody wants to hear the Clintons speak. And they don't do it for free. They don't do anything for free. These tickets are very expensive.
I did hear the tickets were pricey. And I will say, it's an interesting time with the Clintons with 2020 coming up, how people view the Clintons in 2020. Are they going to help? Are they going to hurt?
Old news. The oldest news possible. I'd rather see the Truman family.
But a
next.
Quick aside on Ben Stiller. It was on the New York Post going viral. He offered his seat to someone on the subway, and they lost it. They were so excited to meet him, and he was just being a nice guy. He rides the subway, too, like you.
Put it this way. I never sit on the subway, or else I'd give up my seat.
You also only take it one stop.
Oh. Also, Morgan Ortega, no longer with Fox.
I know. Gonna
now
be
takes
safer.
Heather Nowitz's job as spokesperson for the State Department. She'll be fantastic.
Agreed. Congratulations.
As was Heather, by the way. Heather did a great job.
Phenomenal.
And
really
I'm going to be talking to her soon. First time, really, since she left.
Amazing. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. Really quick, Linda Titus on Facebook. She's the one who got the undershirt first.
You get Andrew Jackson Miracle of New Orleans or something else.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. Free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?